Blog Talk Radio.
Real gon' recognize, real gon' recognize, real gon' recognize, real, real. Phony gon' recognize, still, I reckon I will.
Like we always do with this time, I go for mine, I get to shine. Now throw your hands up in the sky.
Good evening, everybody. The KIRP Radio Show, WMMG. Welcome, everybody, to the KIRP Radio Show. We have quite the event this evening, folks, and there are a bunch of things going on, so we don't know how the ratings are going to be. But to me, it doesn't matter. If there's one person on the line, the show what? Must go on. Y'all supposed to say that with me. The show must go on. KIRP Radio Show, man, we have overcome some milestones. We've done some big things, and you know, it seems like the show's getting quite popular for whatever reason. I get enough hate mail, I guess, to keep people coming back and telling me what they think about me or what they think about the show or how ignorant I am or how racist I am. But I love it. You know, it is what it is. It's a beautiful thing though to be able to have freedom of speech. Shout out to the Frederick Douglass Foundation, you know. Shout out to all my affiliates up here that, you know, a few that I will name later on in the show. And that's just where I am right now. You know, I'm at a loss of words because I just read something that it messed me up, you know, because the topic of the show today is we got quite a few topics. So, you know, in the first segment we're gonna talk about spanking. And what I mean by spanking, I'm not talking about you adults. I mean, y'all can spank each other if you want to, no matter how kinky you are. Whatever you do, we're talking about children and we're talking about spanking kids. And is it relevant to spank children today? Is it legal or is it illegal? And does it work? You know, that's what we're going to talk about in the first segment. And, you know, what's crossing the line when you're giving your child a spanking? Or, you know, how old, when are they too old to still get a spanking? You know, in my mind, it is what it is. I mean, nobody can define that, but that comes with growth and being in the same household as that child and, you know, raising your child. And it also has a lot to do with your beliefs, you know. Some kids are, I hate to say it this way, but it is what it is. He's keeping it real with Pudgy, right? But some kids are better than others. Some kids need their butt tore up on a regular basis, and some kids don't need it at all. Just as well as some of us get in fights as adults or get in fights through school, and some of us have never been in a fight before. Frankly, I've met quite a few people who've never been in a fight before, so that's what we're going to talk about in the first segment. We're going to talk about spanking and all the other things that I mentioned that goes along with that. Our second topic of the night, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be a lot of people logging on late, and I don't know who's going to speak their mind or who does what. I know I get carried away talking sometimes because that's what I do, but if you guys notice, if you're on the Facebook page, if you're on the KRRP Facebook page, or if you're on my Facebook page, I'm sure you've noticed the topics that I've been hitting on in the past few days. I mean, I'm always posting something, or I'm always doing something to have a good time, but I've been really heavy on abortion and the things that surround abortion. So that's topic two for tonight, folks. I'm not gonna get into any details about that as of yet, but topic two is about abortion. The questions that we ask that goes along with that is it godly or not? You know, it seems like the big debate is between religious and I won't say sacrilegious. I won't say non-religious, but I think the big debate is it godly or not? There's a few variables you can throw in there, and nobody but the person who's in the situation could probably speak or talk about or could give you the answer to that. But anyway, it's about abortion, and we're also asking, should it be government regulated? You know, are you pro-choice or are you pro-life? That's what we want to know. Are you pro-choice or are you pro-life? Could you be a combination of the two, folks? I've seen a large variety of answers and a large variety of responses. And I mean, man, it's been enlightening, to say the least, to see some of these comments that I've been seeing. A lot of you all don't know what the hell you're talking about at all, frankly. But a lot of you have been through some situations that you probably never, ever spoke about before. And from what I've seen and from what I gather from what I've seen, is that I think a lot of people went in on my Facebook page. I really do. I think a lot of people went in on the Facebook page and they started talking about some things that they never talked about before. And some of that came out. And in my mind, you know, kind of getting off topic a little bit, but in my mind, we have to talk about these things, these skeletons in your closet. This is probably another show, but the skeletons in your closet, you have to talk about them because they'll eat you alive. Folks, they'll take you over. You'll worry about it. Some people have the ability to throw it in the wall of forgiveness and give it to God and leave it alone. Some of us don't. I'm one of those people. I got to talk about it. I can't hold that stuff in. I got to get it out. I got to speak to somebody about it. We got to talk about it. And you know, it is what it is. But I think a lot of people went in on my Facebook page and everybody can go on there and see it and check it out for themselves. But I think a lot of people went in and started talking about some things that they haven't talked about before, probably told a little bit of their business, and rightfully so, it is their business. But once you put it out in a forum and you start talking about it, you know, it can get rather defensive. And I've seen that on the page. I've seen folks, you know, go on the defense and the offense. And this is a great topic. I mean, this is not something where, you know, somebody's, you know, it's hard to say. I want to say that this is a topic where nobody can be 100% right and nobody can be 100% wrong, but that's not the case. Unfortunately, that's not the case. There can be a right and there can be a wrong, but depending on what your belief system is or what your religion is. So are you pro-choice, or are you pro-life? Should it be government regulated, you know, abortion? Is it godly or not? Let me tell you a little something about KRRP real quick before we get into more of this. KRRP radio show started as just an idea, and I posted something, you know, when I went to New York and I talked to my attorney. Shout out to John Jekyllick and the Jekyllick Law Firm. Shout out to Shady Records too. So I posted that after I went to see a couple of femme friends of mine. You know, shout out to Anna Career Grunberg, my man, He's Ion. Shout out to you guys. I appreciate He's Ion shooting the video and doing the storyboard for me, because I truly had no idea where I wanted to go with this show. But I knew I wanted to do something other than keep screaming at the darn TV, which I was a regular at, you know. I would go to little county meetings here and there. But anyway, that's how KLRP was formed. And I got an email from a caller, from a listener, or a caller, or a listener, period, from some weeks back, I guess. And you know, she had a whole lot of things to say about, you know, I'm all over the board, and what you're doing makes no sense, and why do you even have a radio show? And, you know, I'm not going to read the letter. It was a very, very, very long and very, very well thought, well spoken, and well put together email. I'll just say that. So the person that sent this email to me was definitely nothing less than a professional. Nothing less than a professional. You can tell that from the diction that they use. You can tell it from the format of the email. So, you know, reading and I've read it twice since I've gotten it. I think I first read it on the TV show sometime this weekend. Maybe I read it then when I was sitting down eating. And shout out to my brother Jamal, man, doing his thing over there at Catawba College. Boys doing some good things over there. Just had a brand new baby, Jamal Rowe Jr. Shout out to you, Takira. Man, you guys are holding it down. I wish you guys the best. But anyway, back to the letter. When I read this thing, I was like, man, at first I started reading it, and I said, wow, you know, these people really hate my guts. You know, this person really hate my guts. And she said, my husband and I. So I said, these people. But, you know, when I talk about it, and I talk to a friend of mine about it, and I refer to them as these people. But I'm going to say that this woman hates the ground that I walk on. She says, and this is a African American or black or whatever you want to call it, a person of color nonetheless. Excuse me. This black woman had a lot to say about me personally setting back black people. And you know, I thought about it and I listened to some old shows, and you know, besides some difficulties we have with the radio stations, WMMG, shout out to you, WBYJ, WBIJ, shout out to you guys, DC, Washington State, who still broadcasts a show here and there, from what I understand, Washington, DC, North Carolina, the Triad, 500 through 560 AM, shout out to you guys. But I thought about it, and I went back and I listened to some of the shows, and other than technical difficulties, I really can't see where I single-handedly set back our race in 2010. And she said, and I quote, she said, you set back a race of people who have come so far today with a black proclaiming president of this time. And I'm trying to figure, like, what in the hell did I have to do, or what in the hell have I done to set us back? And what does President Obama have to do with that? I mean, I realize that some black people are making some historical milestones today. But he's not the only one. You know, just because he's the president, he's not the token boy for all black people. He's not the token political guy for all black people. There are a lot of black people who are doing a lot of things around this world, and definitely around the United States. So to this listener, here's what I got to say to you. You need to open your eyes, and you really need to take a second and really listen. Because for what Pudgy does and what KLRP radio show does, we bridge the gap between the TV and all these news channels and the politically correct BS that we hear. Hold on, this keeping it real with Pudgy Radio. The politically correct bullshit that you hear on the TV and the radio, we bridge the gap between that. You understand? We bring people on the show who can enlighten, who can educate, who can teach, who can just talk in regular common sense terms where everybody can understand and everybody can hear. That's what KLRP Radio does. This is what we do for the community. This is what we do for the people. This is what we do for everybody. It's not only for the black community. This is for everybody. There are a number of white kids out there, a number of whatever color kids or whatever race kids out there, whatever religious kids out there who still don't know a damn thing about politics today. And could care less. And this is why I have this show. This is why I do this show. This is why I take the time out of my life and away from my family, wife and kids, to do this show. Because it's important to me to be the voice of the people who you can't hear, who you're not even willing to hear. See, there's a such thing as unseen and unheard. And there's also a such thing as seen and unheard. See, a lot of you see these kids out here, and you can't see past their hair. You can't see past their sneakers. You can't see past their cars. You can't see past their language. You can't see past their religion. There's a lot of things that you have a blind eye to, so you don't even speak to those people. Well, guess what? I'm here as the voice for them. Those are the people that I represent, and I represent you. Because I can be well-spoken if I need to be. I can be in the circles with the doctors and the lawyers if I need to be. But the difference is I can go to the black community and to the hood, to the place where you don't want to go, that you really feel like don't exist anymore, that you would really rather burn the hell off and never exist ever again, never to be in existence. Forget about them. Let them die. I represent those people, and we ain't going nowhere. They ain't going nowhere. They ain't going nowhere. I represent them. Here we are, and we'll always be here. So if you ask, why do I have this show? Why do I do this show? That's why I do this show. For people like you who wish that people like from where I came from would die off. We ain't going nowhere. Going to commercial, folks. We'll be right back after this first break. And we'll probably try to get some callers here. I see people are slow on the line. And you're watching. Watching, man. I just did a TV show. Sorry, folks. You're listening to WMMG, home of the KRRP radio show. Heat messing up in this winter. Is the snow just getting on your last daggone nerves? Are you cold and you gotta put on a snuggie in the house? That's not comfortable. No, it's not comfortable. Are you a grown man wearing your wife's footies? Are they pink? You scared to go check your mailbox with your wife's footies on and as cold as it is inside as it is outside? Well, I'll tell you what you do. If you're looking for a friend, contact Riley Heating and Cooling. If your ductwork needs a facelift, Riley Heating and Cooling will facelift your ductwork. Are you getting the most for your dollar? If you're not, Riley Heating and Cooling will make sure you get the most for your dollar. Ask about their 5-point inspection service. They have trained professionals that offers 25 years of experience. To contact Riley Heating and Cooling, call 336-263-5111. Again, that's 336-263-5111, and you'll find a friend at Riley Heating and Cooling. Hey, if it's Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. and you got nothing to do, I want you to make some time. Grab your slippers, get your robe on, get some comfortable clothes on, leave your rollers in your hair, and get cozy, real cozy, with a drink in your computer. If you've ever been to a coffee shop before, this is a coffee shop you've never seen before, right in the comfort of your own home. Late Night Mike, every Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m., starring your host, Katrina Watkins, poet extraordinaire, and the host Act Right, my man holds it down, the purely poetic Late Night Mike poetry show. Hey, if you wanted some good poetry in your life, make sure you log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/purely-poetic. If you need to do some recording and you're from the DMC area, I want you to look up this company because they have everything that you need for your recording project, no matter what it may be. Any kind of vocal recording you need to do, any kind of spoken word. KRRP Radio Show, we are back on the air, about to take some callers. I want to make sure I give a shout-out to the Frederick Douglass Foundation. Shout-out to you guys. Shout-out to my man Taliban, who couldn't be here tonight. So your boy, Pudgy, It's got the controls in his hand. Doing it all myself tonight, baby. So we're going to take as many callers as we can take, and we're going to try to move the show right along. Definitely got to get my commercials in there. But anyway, shout out to FDF. If you want to log on and check the Frederick Douglass Foundation out, hit them up at fdf.org. Also, if you want to get on Real Hot Records and you want to check out some of the Real Hot Records websites, go to realhotrecords.4t.com. If you're listening to the show and I say something to piss you off and you think you want to call in, here's the number, 619-638-8559. Again, it's 619-638-8559. Hit us up and you can call the show and we can talk about some things. We got to go to a caller. We actually have four callers, but I got to get the 25 Tizzle first. 252, you're on the air. 2041, you're on the air.
What's up, P? This Keisha.
What up? Keisha, faithful listener. What's up with you?
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm ill, but I'm good.
What are you ill about? Blow it off the air. Get it off your chest.
These kids.
Uh-oh.
You were just talking about spankings. The spankings that they just got.
Well, that's topic one right now, so you're welcome to go in. What do you think about spanking? Is it legal or illegal?
I think it's legal. I mean, because you're going to have problems when your kids get into society and start killing, start doing whatever. They're going to talk about their upbringing.
Right.
And my mom always told me, I didn't beat you, I spanked you. It's a difference, and I'm not trying to kill you.
I got beaten.
So. Well, I was mean. I was mean as a child, so my mom could just look at me and snap her finger, and I straightened up. And I was good. I didn't get too many spankings or beatings, whatever. I didn't get too many
because
my mama had me in check. I try to keep mine in check, but they boys, and they get defiant and they're hard-headed. So
well,
I talk. I say something one time, and that's it. I'm through talking.
What do you find more difficult to, I would say, to raise, but to monitor, boys or girls?
I've never experienced a girl, so I don't know. I mean, like, me growing up, I had four brothers. So three of my brothers was here. One was my dad's oldest son, so he was living with his mother. I played with them. I did everything they did. I was a little tomboy, but when we got older as teenagers, if they went out and hung out, I couldn't go anywhere.
Right.
And, you know, I didn't understand it then. I understand it now, and I'm thankful that my mom didn't have me out there and let me do ever and anything that all my friends were doing. So, I mean, from an older perspective, because I'm a 70s baby, I'm thankful for that. But now I'm on my boys hard. I mean, they do nothing. They really can't do anything without me. My son just turned 12. So, I mean, you know, he really can't do a whole lot without me chaperoning him or whatever because he's a boy. I mean, you know, he's already going through that puberty stage where his hormones getting crazy, his attitude nasty. He's going to get knocked the hell out. But,
wow.
No, I mean, like, I mean, because kids are nothing like we were growing up, so I've already got him his shots, protecting him against herpes, everything. I mean, not with herpes, it's warts or whatever, HPV shots. Because I don't know what he may do when I'm not around.
Sure.
When he comes home from school, he has to call me, call my parents, turn the alarm on, and he's home for an hour and a half by himself until I get here. In that hour and a half, anything can happen.
Sure you can.
Anything.
Well,
so,
nowadays, but anything is happening in the schools. I mean, a lot of stuff is happening in the school.
That's true.
So, okay, let me ask you this. Let me go straight to the topics here because I would like for you to maybe call back in the next segment as well, but I'm just going to ask you why we got you on the line, and we'll rock it from there. What do you think crossing the line is when it comes to spankings? I mean, in your mind, what's crossing the line?
I mean, just me spanking, they may get five or six hits and I'm through. Spank, when you cross the line is when your anger overtakes you and you're beating a child for longer than 5-10 minutes. Crossing the line is when you put your hands on them and it goes from spanking with a switch, a belt, your hand to, like, physically hurting them.
Right.
Crossing the line is just straight up abuse. I mean, it's a difference, like I said, in spanking and beating. You said you got a beating.
So I mean,
my mama told me, like like you said, you know the difference. I mean, I know the difference. Not everyone knows the difference.
Sure.
I mean, me as a parent, if my child pisses me off or makes me so mad that I feel like I can physically hurt them, I have to walk away. And kids push you to that limit. It's easy to happen. It's easy for a child to push you to that limit because you're fed up, you're frustrated, because you're steady talking and they're steady doing stuff, and you get angry.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
feel
what...
like if I have to, huh?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I feel like if me as a parent, if I have to get that angry at my child and I feel like I can cause physical harm, I need to leave. Or I need to walk away. Something needs to happen. And I could never see myself doing that to my child. But I've had classes on understanding how people do that. So
I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, you shouldn't spank your child right there while you're angry. You know, while you're angry about what they've done, or if you're mad about what they've done, you shouldn't spank them right then. But and I've also heard the argument with that saying, hey, if you don't do it now, and then you go and let's say you sit and you wait a couple hours or an hour or so, and then you go spank them later, the child would hardly understand what they did. They wouldn't understand the severity of the spanking from which they've done.
Right. And, I mean, I agree with that. Why? My thing is this. I hate to hear a parent say, oh, wait till I get you home. Your daddy's going to get you. That burns me up because by the time they got home, you get them in the car, something else has happened. You tell their dad or what have you, their reason is lost. Their logic is lost of why you're getting a spank. And my mom, she got us right then and there. She didn't wait for my dad to come home. She didn't wait for my stepdad to come home when my parents later divorced. If we did something, boom, we got it right then.
Right.
And her motto was, if you embarrass me, I embarrass you.
that's some old school parenting right there. I mean, but
right.
in this age though, I mean, so what age is too old? Like, we really don't, I guess we didn't solidify what's crossing the line, and we both can agree that when you come to the point of where you're hurting that child, I mean, physically, when you're really physically harming that child and you've done some sort of damage, that's crossing the line. I mean, we both realize that, but people aren't going to really do that to their children. I mean, you're not going to really, of course, there's some idiots out there that really, that break their kid's arm or they break their kid's leg or they do something like
right.
that to the kids. But
right.
according to the school system, a bruise on the arm from a belt is child abuse or
right.
neglect.
Right. And another old school thing is, and I kind of feel the same way. I mean, you know, my mom told me, call social services. Call 911, because when they take you, they're only going to take you with your basic necessities. That's one pair of shoes, maybe two pair of jeans, some underclothes and a shirt. And
wow.
then you're going to be in the system. You know, I mean, it's if you're going to go, I mean, it's I don't know, it's so much stuff that can go on with that. I mean,
sure.
my thing is this, you can't tell me how to discipline my child.
Right.
Because you're not raising them. You don't have to put, you see what you see at school, and a lot of kids are totally different at school than what they are at home.
Right, that's true.
And vice versa. My kids are angels at school. That's a great thing, and for that I'm grateful because I know I'm doing something. But when they get to daycare and for after school care, oh, they buck wild. They're wild, but they're still kids. And they know me as their mama, how I am, what I expect of them, what I won't take from them. They know, and of course, their child are going to push my limit to see just how much they can get away with.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting topic, though. I mean,
that's a typical child. But the thing I can say that I feel that I'm doing right as a parent is because I discipline them. I'm more so a disciplinarian than my husband is.
Mm.
Because it's not anything against him. It bothers me if I have to spank my kids. It does. I mean, that's any parent. You don't want to have to spank your child, but that's me letting them know, look, okay, enough is enough. I've asked you not to do this. You continue to do it, you're going to get in trouble for it. Spanking is my last thing, though. I mean, not that it's, like I said, anything wrong with it. I'll take away TV privileges. I'll make you go to bed early. That kills my kids worse than me having to pull out a switch or a belt and spank them.
Right. Well, what do you think is too old? Like, when will they? When do you think you'll stop spanking their kids? Is there a number to that, or is there an attitude to that, or action to that?
I don't know. I don't know because once again, my mama told me I brought you in this world, take you out.
Right.
I mean, really, I can't really say because I just had to get my 12-year-old. I mean, like I said, I don't really spank my kids that much, but he lied to me. Hide a progress reports. Then he got in trouble for playing at school. Like I told him, I don't send you to school to play and joke around and do whatever. You go to school, you're serious about your grades and everything like that because your education is your future. So he got a spanking. And that's probably the first spanking he had in like 2 years.
Is punishment effective?
Huh? Yeah.
In your mind, I mean, for all kids, not only your kids.
No. I mean, Some kids know how to play, what's my word I'm looking for? Some kids can play their parents where, you know, this is nothing. I'm still going to do what I want to do. Punishment, what's punishment? You know, I mean, I hated being on punishment. Sometimes I'd rather got a spanking just so I would avoid punishment.
Right.
Because me not being able, when I was younger, not talk on the phone, not be able to talk to my friends, watch TV, had to wash dishes for like a month. It beat me now, so I don't have to go through all that.
Okay, so in your mind, it is in North Carolina, it is legal. I'll just put that out there first. I mean, according to the laws, it is legal. You can't leave a bruise. If you leave a bruise, it's child neglect. So.
Right.
You know, that with that out of the way and with everything said, so in your mind, you say there's not an age specifically to stop spanking your kids. You know, there's not an age tied to that, correct?
I mean, for me, Pete, it's each his own. I mean, at 13, I probably could get my son another way. You know, I mean, even at 12, I mean, the last spanking he just got the other day, it wasn't so much terrible, but it was just the point that, boom, he knows my mama still spanked my butt. So now I'm going to do what I have to do to make sure this doesn't happen again. 13 or 14, I say, is the limit for me.
Okay.
Everybody else is different. My mom was like, shit, you 16, I'm going to still beat your butt. You think I care? Whatever. I don't care if you want to be grown. That was then. This is now. I mean, it's too many crazy things going on in court, which I don't agree with social services, I don't agree with. But, I mean, to some effect, you have to say, okay, enough is enough.
I understand that. I agree with that, too. I'll give my personal view towards the end. Keisha, you got any shout-outs? I got a few more calls I need to get in.
I'm going to give a shout-out to Kurt Radio Show for keeping it real all the time.
Yeah, I appreciate that. KRRP Radio Show. Keisha, thanks for your call. KRRP Radio Show, WMMG, home of the KRRP Radio Show. I'm going to skip this commercial. We're going to go to another caller because we have like 30 on the line. I guess a lot of people are touchy about this spanking topic. Let's go to another area code because they've been on since the beginning. It looks like 571 area code. You're the only one on here, caller. You're on the line. Who is this?
What's up, Nikki?
What's going on? What's up?
This is Sunny.
Sonny, oh, man, I love you to death, Sonny. What's going on? I haven't heard from you in a while.
Oh, man, keeping it busy. You know Black History Month, got a busy schedule for it.
We got a whole lot of history in spanking, too, Sonny.
I'm sitting up here agreeing with you. I said, let me call in.
We got a whole lot of spanking history in the Black community.
I ain't get spanking. I got my ass whipped. Okay. I don't know what a spanking is. All right. I got toe up.
Right.
My mom used racetracks and anything she could get her hand on, she was going to use it. But it taught us to not make her use it.
Right.
And that was the point. As you know, when mama gave you that look, it was time for you to act right. Because
that's a fact.
You know, if you didn't, something was coming upside your head. And I think that that's what's wrong with most kids today. They don't expect something to hit them in the back of their head. Because when we was young, when we was with any members of our family, we knew we was acting up. They weren't going to say nothing.
Mm-mm.
They won't tell you to stop because you should have knew better from the get-go.
They just did it.
They just did it. You ain't getting no warning, and you knew exactly what it was for. So there was no questions about that. But
wow.
When, and this is surprising, I'm blessed. With my daughter, she's 6, and you would think, you know, that's that age period where they supposed to be catching all the beat down.
That's right.
But she know mama look. So when mama give her that look, she say, I know I'm about to leave. I'm about to walk away. And she's smart enough to walk away, so I don't have to. And that's why if you start young with your kids, when they get older, you know, they'll do right as long
mm-hmm.
as you train them from the very beginning. And that's where it has to start. And
yeah, that,
it's funny when you ask when is beating enough or when do you stop? What's the age limit? What's the cutoff?
Yeah.
I tell my daughter she's 30 and I'll beat her down.
I believe you too.
I will beat you down when you turn 30. You can be an adult and I will beat you down because it's not the purpose of whether or not you are a child anymore.
Mm.
I will always be your elder. So the day you decide to disrespect me and I have raised you to respect your elders, then you deserve a beatdown. See, now you ain't getting no spankings or no whippings. You about to get treated like you another chick in the street.
Disrespect.
So there is no cutoff period.
Sonny,
I taught you better than that.
I got to ask you, too, because like a lot of – Just getting a little deeper in this thing, you know what I mean? I only scratched the surface, and it's a really broad topic. You know, you can go really so many ways with this, but I really want to ask you, you know, getting a little bit deeper with the spanking thing. Is there a, you know, I've heard a lot of new school, I say new school parents, I'm saying parents our age, you know what I mean? And even younger, a lot of people say, well, I don't spank, you know, they try to time out and they take things and they ground. And I'm for all those things. You know, there's a time and a place for everything. I'm definitely for all those things. But my kids, which are listening right now, they know daddy will get that butt. They know what time it is. And there's a level of respect with that. So what I'm asking is, do you think that there's a level of disrespect in just the world today? And is that the reason why the topic about spanking is so big now, is so huge now, so under the microscope?
I don't know what happened to us. We became, you know, when you're a kid and you like, when I get older, I'm never going to do that. You know, whatever
yeah.
it is your parents did, I'm going to let my kids get away with that. Well, the simple fact is when you become an adult, that mindset is supposed to change. If you are looking at your child like your friend and not your child, then it's not your child's fault. It's your fault.
Mm.
Because you had a baby. That means you are no longer a baby. And that means you need to do what's best to get your child to where they need to be. And this is the problem with those new school parents. Have you seen them in the store when the kids say they want something and you tell them no and they pick it up anyway and they just smack their and buy it? I'm like,
yeah.
I'm in the store like I'm about to go snatch it out the little kid hand and put it back on the shelf. Because what is wrong with you? And then that's why you get a society with the mentality that they're owed something. Like they're supposed to be given something because they don't ever get the consequences for their actions. And that is the problem. And if you don't teach your child young, then you will be looking stupid in the face because when the police get them, you will be like, oh, my baby. No, you should have taught your baby a long time ago that there's consequences for his actions. And then you wouldn't be crying about your baby now.
Mm.
And that's what us new school parents who can't look past wanting to be cool. I mean, be cool around your friends. Don't be cool around your child's friends. around your child's. I went to my child's class the other for Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And little kids were running around. I said, "Oh no, go back to your seat and sit down right now." Little boy looked up at me. He's like, "You act like a teacher." I said, "No." I said, "This is your teacher's classroom, and you mm-hmm. are disobeying your teacher's rules." And yes, I will speak up about it, whether that makes me cool or not. My daughter know who I am.
I think that's a big part of what's going on too in society, because we remain quiet, us as parents collectively. But you know, you got to know. You know, I see a lot of stuff going on in the street, and you know, even when it's not my place to speak to some of these young brothers and sisters out here, I'll still say something, but you got to be careful how you say it. You know what I mean? Because some of the parents would take offense to it. You know, you don't be talking to my child like that. You don't talk to my child. You don't discipline my child. You don't even mention that, you know, those things to my kids. So it's a catch-22, you know, when you're faced with the parent may say that you're wrong, and then you got retribution from the child. You know, they're already doing wrong, and you're only speaking out as an advocate of right. So it's a catch-22 in my mind, Sonny.
It is, but this is the point. This is the point where we have to make up in our minds. Are we going to be the cowards that our parents were, or the cowards that these new age parents are, or are we going to be the ones that show them how it's supposed to be done? If your child is in a public school system
mm-hmm.
and you do not discipline your child, where is your child getting disciplined?
They're not.
Think about it. They go to school for the majority of the day in a school where the teachers have no control over the classroom. They're
right,
not
the
allowed
part.
To discipline. They can't discipline the kids. Principals can barely discipline the kids. Then they come home and get no discipline. This is why they end up in the streets. This is why we are losing generations of kids. This is why. And for the parents who are doing the right thing, their kids are growing up around these kids that have no discipline, and they're creating that peer pressure to say being smart is dumb. Being listening to what your mother says is dumb, because they don't have any of that. And they're the ones that are trying to influence your kids. So if you don't reach out to those kids and be like, that might be how it's done in your house, but that's not how it works here. You know, we have a different set of rules here.
Absolutely.
And that
Absolutely.
Could be the moment. That could be the moment that you change that child's life. When that child sees that there is someone in this world that actually cares whether they succeed or not, that was actually willing to put themselves on the line for that child's success.
Right.
That could be the moment where that child starts actually having some value in his own self-worth. But if you have a child that never gets anyone to tell them the difference between right and wrong, then you're going to have a child that thinks that no one really cares. And the
point is, as
a community, we have to decide that if some of these parents aren't going to save their kids, that we can step in and do our part in the littlest of ways, like picking them up to take them to football practice, because during that time period, you can ask them about their grades. You can ask them about the little things. You can ask them why they're not smiling, why they're not happy. You can be the person that changes their life through the little things. And then when they get older and successful and they write the book, your name is going to be in it, and they're going to be like, she was the first one that showed me she cared.
Yeah, that's how it goes, too. That's exactly how it goes, too. When the kids grow up and, you know, they get to a point where it's time to give some payback, or time to show some love to the people who were there for me, everybody want to come out of the woodwork even when they weren't there. Sonny, you know the second topic, and we're going to go to this in about 10 minutes, is about abortion. And I've got part of a speech that you made. See, people don't know who you are, so I want to introduce you. I don't know if you have to go, but I would love for you to stick around if you would. I want to come back to you, but I got to get a couple more callers.
You got me, babe.
I appreciate that. WMMG, home of the KIRP radio show. We were just on the line with I'm not even going to tell you who it is. I'll let you know who it is in a moment. I got to go to a break. Then I'm going to come back with a producer, with a film producer here, and he's going to tell you a little bit about what he has going on here in the greater Greensboro, Burlington, the whole Triad area. If you're online and you're listening, the number is 619-638-8559. We are KIRP Radio Show.
Have you ever been in a situation where you wanted to, I don't know, let's say you felt like you wanted to do something special, or maybe you felt empty in life. Maybe you got a lot of free time on your hands and you want to do something for your community. Maybe there's a lot of things going on. There are a lot of things going on in government today. But maybe there's some things that's going on that you feel so strongly about, or some things that you've always stood for and that you feel like you need to speak about, or maybe be around people who feel the same way that you do. Here's what you do if you feel like that. I got some advice for you, some very valuable advice. I want you to, if you're a web-based person and you're always surfing on the net and you get bored on the net with all this blah, 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 with the Facebooks and the MySpaces and the blogs, and you get sick of that junk. Here's what you do if you want some truth and some real information. At least that's what I get from this organization. I would like to introduce to you the Frederick Douglass Foundation worldwide and of North Carolina. Log on to www.tfdf.org. Or if you're in North Carolina, I don't care if you're anywhere in the world. Log on to the North Carolina site, because you get two different views. You get more information. There's links to click on there. There's stuff to agree with. There's stuff to disagree with. And here's the thing that I love about these organizations, or this one organization and both these websites. You have the ability to click on a website and you can talk to the director of the Frederick Douglass Foundation or the presidents of these organizations, and they'll get right back with you. That's the thing. That's what I love about this organization. The name of the organization, if you don't know by now or if you didn't catch it by now, is called the Frederick Douglass Foundation. Their core pillars of the foundation is being devoted Christians, proud Americans, and active Republicans.
We're in warfare, and Jesus Christ is looking for warriors that are willing to fight.
We need to leverage our political power and our political interests in both parties. We have the opportunity to talk about how our values work, because when they're put in place, when we govern according to those values, they work.
If anybody is going to take on Mr. Barack Obama, it's going to be black conservatives.
When you push in abortion upon a population, you ask yourself, who's pushing it?
Democrats cannot win without the black vote.
The Jesse Jackson era is over.
Conservatism is neither white nor black. It's what's right. It's what's good.
Our community is everyone.
This is a Kingdom of God movement.
When I was in inner city, pastoring, what I saw was the Democratic Party making the inner city at that time a social wasteland.
Maybe it's you who needs to decide that you want something different and stop waiting for a politician to hand that to you.
We are serious about the mission that we have for the Frederick Douglass Foundation, and we stand on three basic pillars, and we don't apologize for it, but we are devoted Christians, first and foremost. We are proud black Americans, and active Republicans. There are two issues that are facing our nation today that we don't allow anybody, if they want to get our support. You are pro-life and you believe marriage is composed of one man and one woman at one time. We may not be the organization for you, and that's okay. We're not changing who we are.
I don't understand that. They won't mention that the vice chair. When I tell a lot of people this, even Republicans, they say, wow, we didn't know that. They didn't know that the vice chair of the North Carolina Republican Party is a black man named Dr. Timothy Johnson. Timothy Johnson is also the national chairman and founder of the Frederick Douglass Foundation. They don't mention that the KKK was a terrorist arm of the Democratic Party. They just talk about what they did to blacks, but they fail to mention, they forget that one little detail. And another thing they won't tell you is that from 1929 to 1974, North Carolina had a eugenics board, and they passed the Sterilization Act, which they forcibly sterilized 7,600 people, some of them as young as 8 years old. They don't mention that. Democrats were doing that.
your heat messing up in this winter? Is the snow just getting on your last daggone nerves? Are you cold and you gotta put on a snuggie in the house? That's not comfortable. No, it's not comfortable. Are you a grown man wearing your wife's footies? Are they pink? Are you scared to go check your mailbox with your wife's footies on and as cold as it is inside as it is outside? Well, I'll tell you what you do. If you're looking for a friend, contact Riley Heating and Cooling. If your ductwork needs a facelift, Riley Heating and Cooling will facelift your ductwork. Are you getting the most for your dollar? If you're not, Riley Heating and Cooling will make sure you get the most for your dollar. Ask about their five-point inspection service. They have trained professionals that offers 25 years of experience. To contact Riley Heating and Cooling, call 336-263-5111. Again, that's 336-263-5111, and you'll find a friend at Riley Heating and Cooling. Yeah, 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 WMMG, home of the KIRP radio show, and we are back on the air with you all. Had to go to a couple commercials, folks. I appreciate you guys staying on the line. Looks like we are at maximum capacity so far as online listeners. So if you're listening via the web on KIRPradioshow.com, the number is 619-638-8559. Get your call on. We're going to move on to the next segment. But if you have something to talk about, you know, from the first segment, that's fine. If you want to still talk about spanking, I'm good with that. You know, we'll get into that. But I'm also going to want your take on the second segment, which is abortion. And there's a few questions that we have surrounding the topic, too, about abortion. It's are you godly or not if you believe in abortion? Should it be government regulated if you believe in abortion or not? And the question which I would love to ask all of you all who call in, even if you already called in, are you pro-choice or pro-life, and why are you? Hopefully tonight we can come up with some sort of median so people will stop being at each other's throat. This will always be a touchy topic, folks. I hope tonight, I'm not trying to create an argument, I hope we can come to some sort of solution or some sort of common ground. And I know we're talking about lives here, so it's going to be real touchy. All I ask is that you all respect each other, and you know my motto, just keep it real. Before I go into that, I got a call on the line who is a very, very, very – you ever met one of those people who are extremely professional? They'll be professional by all means. You know, no matter what happens, they'll keep their calm and cool face, and they'll remain professional about what they do. And they're all about their business. Well, I met this man when I was shooting a film, or actually when I had a part in the film called The Return. I also did some soundtrack work on the film and on the film called The Return. Shout out to Edwin Lewis, LPT Films. You guys have heard him on here before. And my man Cotton over there at LPT Films. But I met this director who directed and co-wrote, from what I understand. Correct me if I'm wrong, Thomas. But Thomas Scott, director extraordinaire, how are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. It's a pleasure to be on the line with you, Mr. Miller.
Hey, I appreciate you coming in and dropping some dimes on us, man, and having some time to chat with us.
No problem. No problem at all.
Hey, look, it's just a tradition. I normally wait till the end of the segment, you know, when I bring people on and talk to them. We like to talk about something totally different from what they do in their profession. But you got some interesting things going on in the greater Greensboro area of North Carolina. And, you know, I just hope you could speak on it for a minute, and maybe this will help some of the people that, you know, that are on my show that listen in. It's some 100,000 listeners, so, you know, there's people out there, somebody out there is inspiring to be an actor or would like a part in the film or would like a part in the commercial, and you know, maybe we can put the ties together. What do you think?
Like I said, I mean, there are plenty of projects that are actually going on in this particular part of the state, the Piedmont area.
Right.
And it's just, you know, it's a matter of just knowing who to get in contact with, knowing what outlets to plug into. I was just fortunate enough to have the opportunity presented to me haphazardly. When I was working on a screenplay of my own, one of my coworkers back in 2007 introduced me to Mr. Lewis.
okay.
as Lewis. We call him Lou, you and I, of course, those who know him intimately.
Right.
And he was actually in the process of developing the story that would become The Return. And that was how I accepted the offer to become a part of that project. And I'm thankful that I did. Within those 4 years, I've learned a whole lot about the process.
Mm-hmm.
And I can definitely say, particularly if you're, there's a lot of, one thing I tell people, there's a lot of liability if you're going to produce a film, because films aren't cheap.
Right.
There's no such thing as a film that can be done without a budget. And, of course, that's something that was found out the hard way. If you're not willing to take on that liability, my suggestion is connect with someone who actually is in a position to do so, or you may not want to consider doing a film. So that's what a lot of people don't really grasp coming into it. If you're going to have a top-notch product, you got to sort of pay for the cow before you can get the milk. So a lot of times, you know, people understand that if you're going to have a product that's going to be, especially if you're looking to go to the theater, if you're looking to go to DVD, I mean, you're going to be paying for competence and expertise.
Sure.
Without either those two factors in your crew or even within your cast, I mean, you're going to always come across hurdles.
Well, that's why I asked you on the show, because, you know, a lot of people listen. And, you know, I ran across a brother the other day when I was out doing some PR work, and he wanted to know more about acting or more about the industry. So, you know, I figure who better to tell him, especially right here in North Carolina, that this is not a big film market. You know what I mean? This is not the L.A.'s or the New York, so you're not going to get some of the bigger roles. But what are some things that some people can do on the local front to get involved with filmmaking or get involved with acting?
Well, I mean, the best thing to do is actually launch your own project. That's something that I'm doing right now. That's something that Mr. Lewis did, because there were few opportunities available. Edwin Lewis, and I commend him for it, created his own opportunity.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, but along with that, you have to have a passion and a belief in what you're doing to rally people around you. I mean, if you don't have that belief factor in terms of, if you don't have a belief factor in the story, if you don't have a solid story, but if you don't have a belief factor in the story that you're trying to promote, you're going to have a hard way to go.
That's amazing that you say that, too, because that's what we do on a KRRP radio show. We try to inspire people to go out and get their own. You know what I mean? Don't wait for a handout. Go out and get yours and make your own way, pave your own way. I'm here to give people information, and I hope they can use me as a crutch and take what I know and run with it. What are some projects you're working on right now, Mr. Scott?
Well, right now, you're aware of the PSAs that I've actually undertaken. As I said, there's at least four PSAs that I'm doing, all dealing with the topic of safe sex. They're comical anecdotes, which we're filming. The title of the campaign itself is called Wrap It Before You Slap It. But, of course, each PSA has its own subtitle. We just, back in November, filmed one called, coming in from a hard, long day, so I'm just winding down. We just filmed one called Baby Daddy Hill.
Right.
And you can actually find it on YouTube. You go to YouTube, you type in Baby Daddy Hill, just like it sounds. And that particular anecdote centers around a man who's trapped in a nightmarish relationship with his baby mama. And he does the slightest thing that causes her to curse him out in public, in front of the children, in front of everyone. So the whole lesson or moral to that particular anecdote is, if you have unprotected sex with the wrong woman, you'll end up like that gentleman. I think you've actually seen the PSA in question.
I have. Yeah, I have.
At the end of every PSA, you see a customer slamming a condom down on a counter, and you see in bright red letters, "Wrap it before you slap it." And we're doing another, we did another PSA yesterday, or we filmed another PSA yesterday, and interesting enough, the main actor, the gentleman playing young Nate from The Return, Mr. Gogolomo David, a very gifted actor, I had the opportunity to work with him again, and the young lady that I'm going to be working with extensively in the future, Ms. Melissa Martin,
right,
who happens to be an actress / model, and that particular anecdote is called A Perfect Day. and it centers around a devoted boyfriend who, while he's on a date one afternoon, finds out that he has received, as I should say, a little gift from his not-so-devoted girlfriend, who's Melissa Martin. In other words, he has contracted an STD.
Wow.
And so they're walking around, and when the finished product is out, you'll see him in all these different scenarios out on the park with his girlfriend, and in the course of the date, he finds out that he has a little bit of an irritation in his lower regions. So the PSA ends where Gogo is swinging Melissa on he's pushing Melissa on a swing. He realizes he has an STD, and then he gives Melissa, his girlfriend, this evil look because he realizes that his girlfriend has given him this disease. So when the swing comes back around, instead of pushing Melissa in the swing, he pushes her out of the swing.
Wow.
And that's how it ends.
Well, what made you guys take on that stance? You know what I mean? That's a really raw topic, and when you start to make film about stuff like this, it could turn a lot of people off. But you know, I commend you guys for standing up for that.
Well, you can talk about anything if you can make people laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the first antidote that we filmed back in November is based on an actual occurrence. That did actually happen. I was standing in line at a food line in Jamestown, and there was a gentleman that was getting cussed out by his baby mama. And it, of course, was tragic for him, but I saw the humor in it.
Sure.
So all I did was transpose that into a script.
Man, you guys did a wonderful – when I say wonderful, I'm talking about terrific job covering something so touchy and making it laughable, but at the same time getting your point across. I thought that was – that's probably – I'll go out on a limb. Well, not even a limb. I'll say that was the best STD slash wrap it up slash AIDS awareness or sex awareness piece that I've ever seen, Thomas. And I mean that, you know, this is Keeping It Real with Pudgy, and you know me, I don't hold too many punches. I commend you for that, man. I thought that was a beautiful work of art, and I really appreciate you guys standing up for that. Where can we see this at? Where can we see this PSA?
You can see it on YouTube. You can actually go to – I have my production company is called La Sen Media Group, and I'll spell it for some people.
La Sen Media Group, folks.
La Sen Media Group is spelled L-A. That's the first word. It's actually a French word. L-A. Then the next word is S-C-E-N-E. Then Media Group, just like it sounds. And if you actually Google La Sen Media Group, it should come – up automatically. We have a Facebook page, facebook.com/ La Sen Media Group, all one word. And you can find out about our different projects on that particular Facebook page. La Sen Media Group.
La Sen Media Group, folks. Make sure you log on. Check that PSA out. I promise you. Call me back if you don't laugh at this thing. Listen, man, this is a crazy, 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 way out there piece of work, man. I swear, it's a beautiful work of art. I appreciate you, man. And like I said, I commend you guys for doing what you do. Thomas, you're welcome on the show anytime. Just before you go, I mean, as a tradition, every guest, I always ask about my topics. But I don't want to get you in a situation where, you know, I know you're a film director and I know you're a filmmaker.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people will take on your views and they might want to dissociate themselves with you. Or disassociate yourself with you because of what you may say here. But it's Keeping It Real with Pudgy, man, and it's just the risk of being on the show. So how do you feel about – what do you feel about abortion?
Well, I will say this. I mean, I hate to sound reticent about this particular topic, Mr. Miller, but my creed, you know, particularly with my line of business, that I always try to avoid two things, religion and politics.
Sure.
So for the reason that – now, I will like to speak on the butt-whipping –
well, speak on spanking for me, Mr. Thomas. Speak on the spanking.
Yeah, I like to think that whippings are done out of malice, but whippings are done out of malice, but whoopings are done with love. And you know, black folk, we have from time immemorial, we've understood the difference between a whipping and a whooping.
Mm.
And the reason why I feel that myself, my younger sibling, who's also an artist and a cartoonist, while we're on the straight and narrow, is not, you know. We didn't do things not because we knew they were the wrong things to do, but it was because of whooping. You know, I knew that if Tom or Flo Scott had the inkling or the notion that I was up to no good, I was afraid they would walk through that door and whoop my ass.
Wow.
Pardon her. So,
hey, it's know, keeping it real.
Yeah, that, and, you know, I definitely can say that whoopings work, something that we definitely need to go back to. But also, one other thing, Pudge, I guess, well, you know, with the little bit of time that I have on the air, I do want to mention, of course, there are two other projects that we're working on right now.
Okay.
There's Danny Blue, which is actually based off of a stage play written by Miss Tiffany McKeever, who also wrote a piece called Voices, which she's performing right as we speak.
Okay.
And Danny Blue, of course, you can the promo for that you can also find on the La Cine Media Group Facebook. We actually did a promotional trailer for the play, but it was done like a movie trailer. So
right.
It has a cinematic type of approach to it when you watch it. And that was something that I put together for Ms. McKeever. But Ms. McKeever and I are developing that that particular screenplay right now, which is almost finished. We're in talks with our producer, who's her sister, Heavenly Walker, excuse me, is actually in talks with investors. And Danny Blue, of course, that goes along the lines of, say, sex and awareness as well. But it's more that's more the backdrop to the story. It's actually a bittersweet love story between a young girl who has an affair with an older man.
Wow.
And inadvertently, that older man contracts an STD, contracts HIV.
Wow, you got some serious social topics there. You guys have some serious social topics, man, and I appreciate it. La Cine Media Group, folks, this is Thomas Scott, director extraordinaire. Thomas, you got any shout-outs before you go, sir?
Yes, I'd like to give big ups to Lox. Right. Otherwise, Mr. Wesley Daniels, a very gifted actor who helped bring the Rap It Before You Slap It PSA to fruition. I'd like to thank Ms. Jackie Harris-Sanders, another brilliant actress. Candy, or her actual name, Anchevetta Whitsitt. Again, to Gogo, Melissa Martin, and to Mr. Edwin Lewis for granting me the opportunity to allow me to hone my skills and become who I am today and know and learn as much about the business as I've been able to ascertain up to this point. So I do want to thank Mr. Lewis as well and everyone at LPT. So, and again, Pudgy, thanks for having me on, and hopefully we'll get to have these talks pretty soon.
Hey, absolutely, man, and you know I'm waiting for a role, so you know hit me up with my inbox. You got my address, man. I need another role. My schedule's crazy, but I'll make time.
Oh, you know I got a few things in line for you as always, man.
All right, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on, Thomas. You're welcome anytime, brother. All right, have a good one.
All right, you take care. All right.
So that was Thomas Scott of La Cine Media Group, folks. We had to get somebody in to kind of change the topics, you know, right in the middle of the show. But moving right along. is what I would like to call the meat of the show. And I got a caller from the 919. I need to get on here because they've been on too long. One thing I'm committed to is to getting people on as soon as they call in. But, you know, we're getting too big for that, and I'm running the boards myself tonight. So, folks, hang on with me if you're logging in. 619-638-8559. If you're just on the phone and you want to hit up the website and listen because I'm tying up your lines or something, it's www.KIRPRadioshow.com. You can hit us up on Facebook. As a matter of fact, everybody, write it down. Log on to the Facebook. Facebook.com/KIRPRadioshow. Log on there. That's where you can make your comments, and I'll read them off to the best of my ability if you don't have time to call into the show. And that's how we do it. Going to the 919 caller. You are on the air, 8855.
What's up, Pudgy? This is Tim Johnson, founder and chairman of the Frederick Douglass Foundation.
Wow, how are you, sir?
I am blessed, my friend. I just wanted to give you a shout-out. I hear you have my state president for Virginia on, and she's doing an awesome job as always. So I just wanted to let you know I'm listening. My wife and I are listening tonight. We're excited about your show. We appreciate all that you do and what you continue to do, and, of course, the shout-out that you give to the Frederick Douglass Foundation. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate you having me in the group. You know, in the foundation, and I definitely appreciate all you do for black people who are trying to do things for themselves today. Definitely appreciate you there.
Thank you. Well, it's a commitment that we have.
It's definitely a commitment. You display that all over the United States. Hey, I want to ask you how you feel about the topic, because you know I know where you stand and I see where you stand, and you really put that out there publicly. But you know, this is a total different audience. And I'm sure they would like to know more about you and what you stand for. So the floor is yours, sir.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think is important, and as a matter of fact, I just put it on Facebook as you were talking with the previous guest, and tomorrow is the National Day of Mourning for the Unborn. Mm-hmm. This is an initiative that's put out by the Black pro-life community to really highlight the fact of what abortion has done to the Black community and how it has affected us and how it continues to affect us. You know, most people don't really understand about Black genocide and how between abortion and incarceration and dropout rate and things of this nature has really decimated the Black community. Here it is that we've stayed at 12 to 14% nationwide, where every other population, every other group continues to grow by substantial numbers, and we continue to either stay at the number that we have or we go down. And yet, when you look at what's happening here in North Carolina in particular, we represent 61% of all those who drop out of school look like you and I, or who are incarcerated look like you and I. 57% of those that are incarcerated look like you and I, and 48% of those who have abortions look like you and I. People need to understand this abortion thing is serious. Here, look at what just happened up in New York, where they took down a billboard that was giving the truth. That was giving the truth because Al Sharpton threatened to protest the billboard.
Right.
To protest the billboard, and they were fearful. And so I say, as it relates to that as well, not only do we protest Al Sharpton, but we need to protest Lamar, who didn't have the courage to keep that billboard that spoke the facts. I mean, Rush Limbaugh talked about it on Friday, talking about how sad it is that here it is we have this so-called reverend, and I call him so-called because you've never heard Al Sharpton cite the word when he talks about anything. This is about Al Sharpton getting paid. But he'll protest things that have to do I call it out the way it is. I call it to the Chicago radio station and say the same thing. But we need to call it for what it is, because he may have a title of reverend, but the Bible tells us there's always going to be the false prophets around us, and we need to be clear about that. And Al Sharpton has become one of those, just as Jesse Jackson has become one of those false prophets. Their heart might have been in the right place before Jesse ran for president, and Al Sharpton called himself running for president. But Planned Parenthood has endorsed the majority of the members of the Congressional Black Caucus. The only one that I can say that they're not going to endorse and they're never going to endorse is going to be Alan West. And we know that Alan West is a Republican, and he's a renegade, and he goes after the juggler. But
sure.
The rest of them usually get 70 to 100% endorsement by Planned Parenthood. And Margaret Sanger had a agenda out for blacks. She wanted to get rid of every black person in America.
Absolutely.
If we couldn't be shipped back to Africa, then she was going to do what she needed to do through abortions and whatever case may be to get rid of us. And yet we have so many blacks that buy into this corruption, this lie, and eradicating our world of the legacy, as Kevin and I were together this evening. He said it so well, the legacy of the black community through abortion, and we buy into it, and we continue to just perpetuate it. So it's a sad thing. And then when people talk about this choice, we have a choice of opening our legs or closing our legs.
Sure.
Men have a choice of inserting the penis or not inserting the penis. That's the choice that you make. If you're going to be bold enough to lay down to it and have your thrill for the night, then you need to be man enough and woman enough to stand up to it and deal with the birth of a child, because that child did not ask to come in this world. And the Bible is very clear. It says the child is a gift. It's a gift. The child is a gift. My son just had my latest grandchild on Saturday, and how excited I am that they decided to carry the child full term. And the child is here now.
Congratulations.
Now I have three. Thank you. I have three grandchildren. But I say all this to say that we've got to get serious about this conversation about abortion. We've got to get serious about this conversation about marriage. It's composed of born a man, born a woman, married to one another one at a time. We've got to get serious about these subjects. As people want to talk about education, they want to talk about jobs, and they want to talk about everything else. But we're not willing to have the hard conversations. And when I look at the NAACP, which I used to be a strong fan of, when I look at the NAACP and how they failed to talk about the incarceration rate and what we're going to do to reconcile that, when they fail to talk about the dropout rate and they want to continue to protect the unions. I mean, you look at what's going on in Wisconsin, Illinois, when they talk about all the rest of these issues. I mean, it's appalling that this organization is supposed to be the civil rights organization for blacks. It's scared and will not talk about the abortion issue and how it's affecting our community. And then you said earlier about the eugenics and the sterilization that took place Kevin talked about it, between 1929 and 1974, where 7,600 people were sterilized as young as 8 years of age, told they were feeble-minded and less than because of the color of their skin or because of the economic situation that they found themselves in. This
right.
is appalling. This is why we're so passionate about the issue of life. We believe in the sanctity of life from the inception, from the womb to the tomb. That's what we say. And we believe in marriage and the way it is. So we're not going to deviate from that. And as the commercial that you played says, whether you like us or not, we're going to stand on this. We're going to continue to yell it from the mountaintop. And we support the efforts of the Black Pro-Life Coalition and what they're doing tomorrow as it relates down to bringing awareness through my Alpha 21 and the blood money and whatever the case may be to get people to recognize that abortion is not an option for the black community. Bottom line.
Wow. Whew. There's a lot that you said in there, sir. And I hope a lot of people were really listening and paying attention. And if you weren't listening, you're welcome to log back on to KRPRadioShow.com and catch that again. And I challenge you all to go to your Facebook pages and your social sites and get in your job circles and talk about these things, because everything that Dr. Johnson just said was absolutely 100% true. We have to be involved. Dr. Johnson, let me ask you this, because a lot of people, I'm not saying that folks use the cop-out. I understand that there's certain economical situations that people get involved in or that they're born into, and they feel like, you know, bringing a child into this world would be torture. What are some things that folks can do outside of having an abortion after they carry that child?
Well, you know, there are a number of pregnancy centers that are out there for individuals to get support. You know, we need to stop thinking that the path of least resistance is the path that's right for us.
Right.
And abortion is not a symbolism of birth control, and yet that's what we've used it for.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to start recognizing that we have our you know, God willing, we have a faith-based environment that we can go to our churches and we can go to our friends and we can go to people who can help us and guide us and nourish us and give us that encouragement. And even those individuals who have had abortion, but they understand that they made a mistake and they want to move on with their lives, there are organizations that are around the country that are there to support them. Silence No More, where men and women can get help on the effects. Because the one thing, and I think this is important, about, especially with my brothers, you know, too often time we talk about abortion as a woman's issue. Well, let's keep it real. For 9 months, we talk about it's a woman's choice, but as soon as that baby comes on this earth and if a man doesn't take care of that child, then he's called a deadbeat dad.
Mm.
The way I look at it is that we're responsible the 9 months as well as the 9 months after.
That's right.
Accountability. It's not about I'm going to support this woman. It's about recognizing that that's your sperm that went inside of that egg, and that's how that child was conceived. It takes two to tango. It takes a man and a woman in order to create a human being. And we've got to start taking ownership as men. We've got to take responsibility of putting our penis in women and not wrapping it up, as your previous guest talked about. We've got to take accountability of recognizing that not everything that looks good is good for us. We've got to take accountability to recognize that we have a responsibility to be a living example to those individuals around them, be it our little brother, our cousins,
mm-hmm.
our nephews, whatever the case may be. And
that's
too
right.
oftentimes we're not willing to do that. And so I think that as you talk about what are some preventive processes as well as some things that happen after you have a child, it starts off with the family nucleus. Here it is that, you know, it used to be once upon a time that you had an extended family. You mean when you used to walk down the street, if you got in trouble, your mom would know what happened before you got home because everybody
right.
on the street would make sure. Now we don't want to deal with that. And so the support base that we used to have once upon a time in our communities needs to come alive and well again. And we just need to be more engaged and be more committed to making sure that we're taking care of it. Sex is not something to be taken lightly. It's not about conquering. It's about understanding that this is how we conceive life. This is how we move on from generation to generation. And we've got to decide as a people that we are going to take things much more serious than we have. We've become too lackadaisical about sex. We've become too lackadaisical about life. We've become too lackadaisical about education. Here it is, education used to be something that was cherished. We don't even want to go out and vote, and yet we talk about Black History Month. We talk about Martin Luther King, judge me by the character, not the color of my skin. And yet the first thing we want to do is say, oh, whoa, poor me. I'm a Black man. My family came through slavery. Well, you know what? There hasn't been slavery. There hasn't been slavery in over 100 years. Let it go. We've got to go on and deal with these issues and recognize that we set the tone and stop letting other people set a tone. And that's the problem that I have with the liberals, is that they want us to be dependent upon the system and cry
sure.
about woe for me, and we've got to let that go.
Now, it's all about self-responsibility, you know, first and foremost, before you even think about, you know, the self-responsibility comes in protecting yourself, first of all. If you don't want to have the child, like you said, you know, close your legs and don't go up in there, first of
that's
all.
That's right.
You know, that's just out plain put. You can sugarcoat it all you want to. Don't go up in her. Don't have sex with that woman, and you women don't have sex with that guy unless you know he's going to be the father of your child and can take care of that child for the rest of that child's life. You got to know that when you lay down with that woman or when you lay down with that man, you're going to have to deal with that person, or there's a possibility that you're going to have to deal with that person for the remainder of your life.
That's
you
right.
know, and it's really that serious, and I think we do a poor job in the school systems and in the communities of really making kids and making young adults and even older adults understand that this is a lifelong thing. It's not just a 9-month thing, like you said, or a 9-month after thing. This is a lifelong thing. This is a life that we're talking about. And so many people really don't look at it that way. They look at it as if, okay, we're going to carry the baby, and maybe we'll be together, and maybe we won't, and we can get a divorce. Listen, I love everything that the Frederick Douglass Foundation stands for. And I'm not even going to say it. I play your commercial, but I love when you. I love to hear you say it. You know what I mean? So I really, serious, you know, there's two things that I'm going to ask you to do, if you don't mind. For one, I want you to really explain the difference of Republican principles and Democratic principles. That's one thing. And the other thing, I want you to explain to folks what's really going on. What's really going on with the labor unions out in Wisconsin? I don't think a lot of people really understand it. I've been seeing some reckless talking going on, but a lot of people can't apply that to themselves. So if you could, I want you to kind of break that down in common sense terms, if you will.
Sure, sure. Well, I think, the first thing that I want to say is, once again, thank you for the shout-out and the continued support that you have for us, and we definitely have for you.
Absolutely.
You know, the Frederick Douglass Foundation was created out of what I consider a necessity. I got tired of people saying that there were no blacks in the Republican Party. And as you start doing research, anybody that takes the time, and this is the scary part about our people, is they don't want to do the research. I tell people, anything I say, go online and look it up. There's nothing that I've said thus far that I don't challenge you to go online and look it up and see if I'm telling you the truth. Because at the end of the day, it's about knowledge. It's not about what somebody tells you. It's about what you find out for yourself. And so when you think about the principles of the Republican Party and what our party was built on, our party was built on some basic things. And it's really sad that more people don't realize that it is the Republican Party. Abraham Lincoln was part of the Republican Party in the Emancipation Proclamation. Lift Every Voice, the song that blacks love to sing, especially during a Martin Luther King celebration of Black History Month, was written by two Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
The HBCUs and the NAACP were founded by Republicans, and all civil rights legislation that was ever initiated was initiated by Republicans. And people have this mindset, well, this is all about the Democrats. Well, no, it's not about the Democrats. If you take the time and learn the history and you talk to some real Democrats, they will tell you, no, the truth is the Republicans did do it. But things change. And I love when people say that things change. And our principles have been very clear. We believe in self-reliance and self-direction and self-determination. Frederick Douglass said it best. He said, you don't need to hold up the Negro. You've done the Negro more harm by making him a dependent. If he can't stand on his own two feet, let him fall. That's what Frederick Douglass said. And he said that back in 1852 about.
Wow.
So it's really sad that when you think about this in 2011, Frederick Douglass said, if the Negro can't stand on his own two feet, let him fall. And yet, what do we have in our society? We've created a society of dependency. And so this is what the Frederick Douglass Foundation is really about, is recapturing the spirit that we once had. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie. I'm sure you had the movie The Great Debate, where
Absolutely.
You got these young people who are debating. You notice how they were dressed? They had an aura about them just in their dress. They weren't going to let somebody stereotype them, which is what we've done in our society today by wearing our pants down by our ankle and things of that nature. We stereotype. We're less than. We always need this. You owe me. But those young men, those young people in Great Debate were awesome, and they went everywhere to debate people. And I think we've got to go back into that mindset. And so when I compare what our principles are for the Republican Party versus what our principles are for the Democratic Party, I will say it simply, and I used to be a Democrat, I will say it simply, that we have principles in the Republican Party. I'm not sure what the principles are in the Democratic Party. I'm not sure what they are. It's like a free-for-all. If you just want to do whatever you want to do and have it however you want to have it, then go into the Democratic Party. If you want some structure, some clarity, and work hard to keep the government out of your business and an organization that's about doing something that's going to benefit for freedom and liberty, that's the Republican Party. That's why I'm a Republican today. The other thing that I think is important as we transition into Wisconsin or we transition into Illinois is asking yourself, what are we talking about? Here it is that two-thirds of the eighth graders cannot read at a level that's appropriate for their grade level. Yet we want to run out there and talk about, oh, we want to make sure that the teachers have this ability for collective bargaining. To me, what's our priority? That's why we're fighting the issue here in North Carolina to make sure that we have more than 100 charter schools. Because
right.
at the end of the day, if the school system is failing our young people, our children should not be required to suffer through high school in a failing school system. They need to get the education that's going to make them globally competitive, not state competitive, not national competitive, globally competitive. It's sad that we think oftentimes that when we see an Asian person that this person has all these bright smarts, and when we see a black person, the first thing we want to say is that they don't know how to read or write, and we got to talk to them through Ebonics.
Wow.
See, we've got to get serious about these conversations. And when I think about people like Al Sharpton, just that, they're not dealing with the real issues because it's not putting money in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to be real about this. So we've got to look at what's going on in Wisconsin and say that November 2nd, 2010, an election was had. Why is it that these elected officials chose to leave the state? They were elected to do a job. Just like the Republicans had to suffer here in North Carolina for 140 years,
mm-hmm.
we didn't leave the state. We had to suck it up. When the Democrats didn't want to include us in the budget, when they didn't want to hear anything we had to say, we had to suck it up. But look at what's going on in Wisconsin. And then we have unions running in and talking about we got to support this and support that. At the end of the day, it's about elections. That's what the election was about. That's what happens when you work in a republic. That's what this
wow.
country is a republic. You vote, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Imagine if you get on the football field and you think you're going to see a good football game and the other team says, well, I don't like the uniform they're wearing, so we're going to get off the field and we're going to leave. They're going to have to change their uniform. That's kind of the way I look at Wisconsin.
I agree with you.
You
know, I was saying this to a brother the other day. I said, imagine, you know, in my mind, it's are you willing to pay a little bit extra for something that you get for free? Okay, would you be willing to pay a little bit extra for something that you get for free for the greater good of everybody?
That's right.
I mean, in common sense terms, that's how I broke it down to a brother the other day. And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, that's the big debate between the labor. I'm sorry, the union. You know, a lot of people don't want to pay any more than listen, if you get something for free, you don't want to pay any more than what you have to pay for.
That's
but
right.
In this failing economy, we can't afford to keep giving everything out for free. We
that's
can't
right.
give you everything that you want for less of a charge. Do you know how many less people, I'm sure you know, but who gets a pension today?
That's right.
You know
that's
what
right.
I mean? So
that's right.
It's a big debate, man. And, you know, the people were out there, and Kevin was out there. Kevin Daines, shout out to Kevin Daines, Frederick Douglass Foundation. He was out there in Raleigh, and a few of you other folks are out there in Raleigh this past weekend. And, you know, they protested and they marched. But we got our own problems here. Look at the educational system. Look at the education system here. You know,
that's right.
we got some problems that we need to address, that we need to bring to the governor. Before we can even talk about Wisconsin, you know, those are things that we need to address right now. Look at this abortion rate, you know.
That's right. That's right. And see, that's my point, is that when you look at the education and the dropout, 57% of our young people that drop out from school here in North Carolina are black. Can you really afford for the teachers to be on strike talking about some when they're getting paid in excess of $74,000? To me, it doesn't make logical sense. If you, I don't know if your audience has seen it, but I would, and I don't know if you've seen it, but I would recommend.
I think
you
we lost
the
feed for Dr. Johnson. If you get on,
can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello. 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 He lost me. I didn't lose him. Is he still on? Hello?
Folks, look like we lost the feed. Hang on, we're going to get you back in there in just a second here. We're experiencing a little bit of technical difficulties. I don't know what happened to the feed here. We will get you back on the line here as soon as possible. You were listening to the KRRP radio show. I'm your host, Pudgy Miller, and we were just talking to Kevin. We were talking to Dr. Timothy Johnson about, the topics of the show. One of the topics of the show was, you know, we were talking about spankings, and the other topic of the show, we were talking about abortion. So I think we got Dr. Johnson back on the line. Dr. Johnson, can you hear me now?
I can hear you. I can hear you fine.
Okay, I apologize for that. We lost the feed somehow. I don't know what happened.
No problem. No problem.
Well, you know, again, as I was saying, I mean, you know, these topics are serious. They affect our community, and we better wake up. I know, you know, people were excited in 2008 when it came down to President Obama, but you know what? The president cannot solve all the issues that are affecting our community, and we need to go community by community by community, and we need to address these issues head on. And abortion and marriage is one of those issues, or two of those issues, that we've got to deal with. We can no longer run from them as we've been doing. We've got to call them out for what they are, and we've got to recognize how they're affecting our communities, how they're affecting our families, and recognize that we need to do something different. Otherwise, the black community as you know it today will not exist in the future.
Wow. There you go, folks. I mean, you heard it all right there. Dr. Johnson, do you have any shout-outs before you go, sir?
Well, I always shout-out to all my presidents. I hope Sonny is still on the call. So my Frederick Douglass Foundation of Virginia president, Sonny, you had her on. Obviously, my president here in North Carolina, Kevin Daniels. Of course, my beautiful wife who's listening to the show, Latessa Johnson, and all those who have been a part of our organization, continue to pray for our organization, believe in our organization. We appreciate you. And for more information about the Frederick Douglass Foundation, you can go to tfdf.org. Again, it's tfdf.org. Or for North Carolina, you can go fdfnc.org.
We appreciate you calling in, sir. We're going to your commercial right now. Shout out to the First Lady Frederick Douglass Foundation. Shout out to President of the Frederick Douglass Foundation. I'm sorry, Chairman and Founder and Vice Chair of the Republican Party, Dr. Timothy Johnson. Thanks for coming through, sir.
Thank you, partner. Talk to you soon.
All right. We are KRP Radio Show.
We are warfare, and Jesus Christ is looking for warriors that are willing to fight. We need to leverage our political power and our political interest in both parties. We have the opportunity to talk about how our values work, because when they're put in place, when we govern according to those values, they work.
If anybody is going to take on Mr. Barack Obama, it's going to be black conservatives.
When you push in abortion upon a population, you ask yourself, who's pushing it?
Democrats cannot win without the black vote.
The Jesse Jackson era is over.
Conservatism is neither white nor black. It's what's right. It's what's good.
Our community is everyone.
This is a Kingdom of God movement.
When I was in inner city, pastoring, what I saw was the Democratic Party making the inner city at that time a social wasteland.
Maybe it's you who needs to decide that you want something different and stop waiting for a politician to hand that to you.
We are serious about the mission that we have for the Frederick Douglass Foundation, and we stand on three basic pillars, and we don't apologize for it, but we are devoted Christians, first and foremost. We are proud black Americans, and active Republicans. There are two issues that are facing our nation today that we don't allow anybody, if they want to get our support. You are pro-life and you believe marriage is composed of one man and one woman at one time. We may not be the organization for you, and that's okay. We're not changing who we are.
I don't understand that. They won't mention that the vice chair. When I tell a lot of people this, even Republicans, they say, wow, we didn't know that. They didn't know that the vice chair of the North Carolina Republican Party is a black man named Dr. Timothy Johnson. Timothy Johnson is also the national chairman and founder of the Frederick Douglass Foundation. They don't mention that the KKK was a terrorist arm of the Democratic Party. They just talk about what they did to blacks, but they fail to mention, they forget that one little detail. And another thing they won't tell you is that from 1929 to 1974, North Carolina had a eugenics board, and they passed the Sterilization Act, which they forcibly sterilized 7,600 people, some of them as young as 8 years old. They don't mention that. Democrats were doing that.
We are warfare.
You're listening to WMMG, home of the KIRP radio show, baby. We are now 100,000 listeners strong, and it's all because of you. If you want more information about KIRP radio show, hit us up online. You can visit the website at www.kirp.com.
KIRPRadioshow.com. Again, that's www.KIRPRadioshow.com. If you're logging online and you're on some social sites, make sure you hit us up and like our page on Facebook. That's facebook.com/KIRPRadioshow. Add yourself to the page. You can leave a comment. You can talk about the topics, and we'll try our best to get them on and read them off on the show. And if you're also on Twitter, send us a tweet @KIRPRadioshow, and you can hit up the host, and that's me, that's Pudgy, @NCPudgy. Like I said, we are now over 100,000 listeners strong, and it's all because of you, baby. We started out November 28th, 2010, and now we're taking it through 2011 and beyond. We are the KIRP Radio Show, and if you don't know what that stands for, that's Keeping It Real with Pudgy, baby. If you want more information about emailing, or you want information about advertising, or you want to know where we're going to be here and there, hit us up, KIRPRadio@gmail.com or WMMG500@gmail.com, and someone will get back to you as soon as possible. Like I said, it's all because of you, baby. 100,000 listeners strong, and we're going on from here. I appreciate you, and one love. Hey, if it's Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. and you got nothing to do, I want you to make some time. Grab your slippers, get your robe on, get some comfortable clothes on, leave your rollers in your hair, and get cozy, real cozy, with a drink in your computer. If you've ever been to a coffee shop before, this is a coffee shop you've never seen before, right in the comfort of your own home. Late Night Mike, every Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m., starring your host, Katrina Watkins, poet extraordinaire, and the host Act Right, my man, holds it down for Purely Poetic Late Night Mike Poetry Show. Hey, if you wanted some good poetry in your life, make sure you log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/purely-poetic. KIRP Radio Show. Actually, it's WMMG, home of the KIRP Radio Show. And I just want to give a special thanks to everybody who came on the show. You know, everybody who's listening to the show, I appreciate it. We got much more to go. We got a lot to talk about. I don't know if you all are really paying attention, but, you know, there's some good knowledge that's being dropped on the show. And I really appreciate everybody taking the time to, you know, sit down and you know, it's a big night in Hollywood, so we're trying to beat Hollywood because we're talking about something that matters. We're not talking about a film. If you want a film to look at, I want you guys to check this out. Go to maafa21.org. That's maafa21.org. If you want a film to look at, that's some film for your feet. You know what I mean? I want to get some shots out real quick before we get back on the topic. I got to give a shout-out to my man, Edwin Timberlake. My man, Edwin, is doing something beautiful. He's got a magazine company called The Corner Magazine. It's something you guys are going to be hearing about. It's going to be the next big magazine that you ever heard about. It's called The Corner. Edwin Timberlake, man, this is a very special guy. We're going to meet with him here in a couple weeks. We're going to talk about what he got going on. And hopefully you guys will, you know, find some interest in what he's doing. I also got to give another shout out to the Frederick Douglass Foundation of Virginia. Actually, she's on the phone with us, and that's Sunny. She's on the phone with us right now. Sunny Johnson is on the phone, Frederick Douglass Foundation of Virginia. Shout out to her. We also got to give a shout out to Sorry about that, folks, but also got to give a shout-out to my girl, Kelly Simone, a.k.a. Kelly Smoke. Kelly sent us a message on the Facebook page and said she loved the show tonight. Sonny, Kelly, I really appreciate that. That's B.I.G. in my book coming from you know what I mean? Absolutely B.I.G. in my book, and y'all know that's the catchphrase.
Real quick, I just want you guys to know, if you log on to the website, it's www.kirpradioshow.com. I want you guys to go on there, and I got an event that's coming up called Love for Life. And what Love for Life is, it's going to be a family environment. It's going to be a family group. It's going to be a nice setting where I have some very inspirational and beautiful women that are going to talk about some things. This is for your daughters. This is for your husbands. This is for your sons. This is for everybody, folks. It's going to be a special event that we got and that I planned. And this thing is going to be, it's probably one of the most beautiful things that I've ever put together. And it's definitely ordained by God because I couldn't have done this on my own. We're bringing women together, and it's mostly women. There are a few gentlemen that are going to talk, but it's mostly women who are going to talk about some situations and some things that they've experienced in their life when it comes to abortion or rape or abuse, even verbal abuse. You know what I mean? So this is going to be a powerful thing, and I hope you all will take the time and register for this event. It will be a webinar, so it'll be something that you can watch online. It's $2, folks. And if you can't afford the $2, send me an email at kirpradio@gmail.com. Give me your name and let me know that you can't afford the $2, and, you know, we're going to take care of that for you. If there's somebody out there who want to pay the $2 for somebody else, click on the link, write your explanation in the box. You want to pay for whomever who wants to register for the show, and that's cool. I also want to challenge you guys to log on to Frederick Douglass, FDF.org. And I gave that address all wrong. I'm sorry, Dr. Johnson gave it out correct the first time. I'm a little bit overwhelmed because I'm anxious right now. I'm ready to get Sonny Johnson on the line because we're about to flip this segment a little bit and do it our way for the next 20 minutes. But tfdf.org, I want you guys to log on there, and I want you to become a member because a friend of mine just sent me a message on Facebook. You know, it's somebody that I really respect and, you know, everything that she stands for. She's an activist. She's all about grassroots, and everything that she does is a beautiful thing. So it's one thing that she said. She said to tell Dr. Johnson that we need some help out here in the streets. You know, it ain't but so much help possible in a world of no opportunity. You dig? That's how she sent it to me. And my reply was, I dig it, and I'm working with Dr. Johnson to make some of these things happen. I'm working with the Frederick Douglass Foundation to try to bring some of these things forth and to try to talk to some people who already have opportunity and create other opportunity for young adults, not only black adults, but young adults, period, and also children. We're doing a few things. And so I want to give a special shout-out to Latessa Johnson, the first lady of the Frederick Douglass Foundation, who replied to that. And, you know, she was just letting my friend know that, my friend Anna know that, you know, hey, we're out there in the streets, and, you know, keep your head up and keep it moving until you run into something. The main objective of all this is not to give up to anybody who's out there striving or trying to do something positive or trying to do something for themselves. Don't give up, y'all. Keep it going. Keep it moving. Whatever you do, don't give up. Keep a positive aspect about things. You know, if you see somebody who's about to give up, you know, talk to them and make them understand that life is rough. You know, life is not a bunch of chocolates. Life is not cake. You know what I mean? Got to give a shout-out to the Frederick Douglass Foundation of North Carolina. He said he would sponsor 10 people for the Love for Life webinar. So, you know, the first 10 people that click on the button and register, or the first 10, I'll tell you what, the first 10 people that send me an email to kirpradio@gmail.com that says they want to be a part of the Love for Life webinar, you're paid for, and it's paid for by Kevin Johnson, the Frederick Douglass Foundation President of North Carolina. Back on the topic, folks. First, let me put this out there real quick. The CIAA tournament is in Charlotte, North Carolina. We also know the DNC is in Charlotte, North Carolina this year. But I will be there. I'm not sure exactly where I will be. I'll be in the downtown area. I'm going to broadcast the show next Saturday live from the CIAA, from downtown Charlotte somewhere, maybe on Sugar Creek Road or Sugar Creek Avenue. I'm not sure the name of the street, but I know it's Sugar Creek. So I'll be out there live. We're going to do a homeless drive. We're going to do a drive for the homeless. Bring your shoes. Bring canned food. Bring pennies. It doesn't matter. We are not getting any of these monies. I'm not collecting 0% of this money. None of the clothing. All this stuff is going to the homeless. So if you bring it, or if you see a homeless person, we can walk together and give it to them. It's going to be a live show. So make sure you come through, bring us your old shirts, bring us your old sneakers. I mean, we wanted to be in decent care, folks. You know what I mean? We want this stuff to be decent enough to actually give to somebody. You know, we don't want your raggedy and tore stuff. As a matter of fact, bring your raggedy and your tore stuff. I'll take it because somebody probably can use it. You know what I mean? So find me on Sugar Creek. If you're going to be at the CIAA tournament, find me next Saturday. We're going to be out there, KRRP Radio Show representing and the Frederick Douglass Foundation. We're going to be out there. We're going to be in the street where it really matters. We're going to do something for the homeless. We're going to take up your old clothing articles. We're going to take up your canned food. And before the end of the day, we're going to distribute it. So hit us up, man. See us out there. And I hope you guys will come through, stop through, and I'll get you on the air live. And, you know, we'll get your name. We'll give you a sticker. We'll probably give out some T-shirts or something like that, too. So shout out to everybody who's going to do that, Charlotte, North Carolina, next Saturday. Now, we have back on the line, Sunny, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, we got Sunny Johnson on the line, and y'all know me. Y'all know I'm Pudgy, man. Y'all know how I do, all right? Y'all know how I do. Y'all know where I'm from. You know, I ain't got to say Maplewood. Y'all know what it is. But check this out. We appreciate the president of the Frederick Douglass Foundation, you know, Dr. Johnson, for all he do. But for all of you who can't get with that, who couldn't understand what he was saying, y'all need to hit us up. Kevin Daines, I need you to call on the line. If Kevin Daines is there, I think we got him right now. Kevin, are you on the line?
Yo.
Kevin, are you there? All right, bet. I got me, you, and Sonny on the line right now. And you know the topic is abortion, and the topic is spanking. And if you guys got something to say about that, please by all means speak out. But I just wanted to let the callers know, you know, right now we're 100,000 callers strong, baby. Y'all don't know how good that feels. You know what I mean? I am the example of creating an opportunity from nothing to something. You understand what I mean? I'm a business professional, but so far as a radio, I had no ambition to create a radio show. Now we're 100,000 strong, and there's somebody out there who's listening, and somebody who's paying attention, and somebody who's been educated from this. And I appreciate you guys for supporting me, Kevin, and Sonny, and Dr. Johnson, and the whole Frederick Douglass Foundation. I commend you all, and I really thank you all for showing me the love that you do. Now, we do things a little bit different. We're more from the hip-hop era. You know what I mean? And speaking in hip hop terms, I'm going to ask you both a question from a female aspect and from a male aspect, since we're on abortion, because a lot of people feel like this, and this is coming solely from my Facebook page. A lot of people feel like this. One of the questions I've had: if it was you, Sonny, who was raped by a white supremacist, but out of all things in the world, would you have that child, and why would you have that child?
Because it's my child. See, this is the thing. If you're not a Christian, then you can justify it. Okay, you go ahead. I'm not even, you know, not gonna argue with you about it.
Right.
But the simple fact is, if you believe in God and you believe that God knows what's best for you, then you take what God gives you, even if it doesn't come in the form that you thought it would come in. When you make excuses for, this is the thing, when you pray, people pray and they pray hard and they say, this God, help me, help me, help me. And mm-hmm. then something happened in their life and they're like, oh my goodness, I can't do it. And they turn their back on it, not even knowing that that was God's way of trying to get in your life. But you mm-hmm. turn your back on it because you think you know better. And that's the problem where praying goes wrong. So you can continue to justify it all you like and throw the punches out at me to make me defensive. But the simple truth of the matter is I live my life by how God tells me to live it. So if he puts an obstacle in my way, I don't try to find the easy way out of it. I know he put it there for a reason. And I go after it, and I walk in his will and his way. And whatever that is, I'm down for it because I believe that he knows what's best for me.
Wow. There's a lot of people who say, you know, I've had one person that said, you know, anonymously, that sent me a message that said she doesn't believe that God would put her in a situation like that to be raped and carry that child.
Have you lost your mind? Don't look. Hell, you know what?
That's why we love Sonny right there. Speak your mind, Sonny. You say what you want to say. This is my show.
You know what? You don't know the position that I have been in my life. So before you go comment, realize it. This is a new era. Did you listen to the commercial? We are Jesse Jackson, and their era is over. We grew up in the mess that they created. How dare you assume that I don't know what I'm? Pray for me. Pray for me.
You got a mute button on there?
Yeah. Oh yeah, but I ain't gonna use it though.
I'm
not even using it. I don't believe in using it at all, Sonny. You speak your mind. It's my show. I pay for this. Let's do it.
Look, I have to be mindful that my chairman was on a few minutes ago. No, I'm being mindful. But with all due respect,
absolutely,
with all due respect to the women out there, the truth of the matter is that the majority of the abortions are not by rape cases. The majority of them are because you had sex and you didn't protect yourself. That
it's
is the majority 1%. Of them. So for you to try to take some one oddity out of a million, how many more than a million circumstances, it makes no sense. But it also shows the short-sightedness of what people think, of how people think, that if it's not the way I want it, that I don't have to do it. And that is the problem, because it's not going to be the way you want it. It's not going to be the way you expect it. It's going to be the way that God planned it for you. Mm. And that's what we have to get back to.
Wow. The actual number, I'm just going to put it out there just to let people know that, you know, we're not playing no games. Like, we're definitely on point in what we're saying, and we're not talking about it in vain. Some of it may seem opinion-based or whatever you want to call it, but the number is 0.65% of abortions that are done by rape or an act of, I think the word is an act of incest or, I'm sorry, I'm trying to read my own writing here. I was writing fast. An act of incest
rape,
or
rape
or crime.
Rape or incest. Yep, there's a lady named Elaine Riddick. Mm. That she's in that movie Mafia 21. She was raped at the age of 13, had a baby when she was 14, and was sterilized right after they delivered her baby. Her son now lives in North Carolina. He's a millionaire. And she said one of the greatest joys in her life was having him, because now she has a grandson out of it, who's her pride and joy.
Right.
So if she would have aborted that baby, or you know, lack of a better term, she would have killed that baby. Now, what she wouldn't have her beautiful son. She wouldn't have her beautiful grandson, you know. And, you know, so I just think that, you know, God, one thing that God, the one of the most important, if not the most important thing that God gives to us is our witness. And when God puts us through, allows things to happen, you know, you can look at the book of Job, you know, read the first couple chapters and see what happened there. Where and then when God puts you through something and you come out of it, your test becomes your testimony. Because when you come out of that, you're able, through your witness, you're able to help lead and guide somebody else that might be in that same situation. That's why the most effective person that can minister to a drug addict is a former drug addict. Because
sure,
they know what
right.
it's like. They
that's
know what
right.
it's like to be addicted to that. You know, they know what it feels like to be addicted. So there, I would rather listen to somebody that's been through it to show me the way out than somebody that's never been through it just throwing a bunch of medical terms around.
Yeah, I
so,
agree.
I mean, so, you know, so that person that sent you that message talking about God wouldn't do that, one thing that I believe it's in, God, what book it's in, to be honest, I think it's in Jeremiah. God says his thoughts are above our thoughts, his ways are above our ways. So whatever God has in store for us, we don't know. We can't think. We don't. God is thinking 20, 30 steps ahead. We can't even look past the word go. So when God does something like me, I never know that I'll be 31 years old right now, the state president of an organization with a wife and a son. There's
right.
people behind me that's coming along that I'll be able to witness to, that I'll be able to minister to. You know, so, I mean, Boston is wrong. I don't care what nobody say.
Okay, let me ask you this. We're all three of us. I can speak freely in saying this, that all three of us are advocates for less government. You know, we definitely represent that, you know, some self-preservation. My question is, should this be, you know, back on the topics of the show, should this be government regulated? Should abortion be government regulated?
On a federal level, absolutely not. I think this is more of a state issue. That each state should have to deal with it. But I tell you what, we about to get on here in North Carolina. We trying to get on and defund Planned Parenthood. They get tax dollars to abort babies. You know, they do a lot of different things, but if they're gonna receive tax money from us, they need to stop performing abortions. But I don't think that this should be, you know, a government issue. But when they take tax dollars from us, when they take a lot of things from us and then provide it to the abortion industry, then I think that's a problem.
What do you think about, you know, speaking on Virginia or just overall, Sonny, on a federal level? What do you think?
I'll give a big shout out to my Republican Governor Bob McDonnell, who is going to signing the law tomorrow. Okay, that will. Do you know that most of the abortion clinics in the state of Virginia have less regulations than the veterinarian clinics, which means that they have better facilities for the dogs than they have for these girls that are going in and getting abortions?
Wow.
So,
that's crazy.
By the terms of what this in this bill alone, we will close down about 40 to 45% of all the abortion clinics in the state of Virginia because they will not be able to meet regulation. So big victory and shout out for that. Now,
right.
Should it be legalized? This is the issue. And it goes above just the idea of abortion. It goes to, if we're going to be small government, then we need to be the people who make decisions for ourselves.
Right.
The simple fact of the matter is there was a switch in time where the Supreme Court lost its mind, and instead of judging things based on the Constitution,
Hello?
They decided
I think we
that
lost
Sonny
here for a minute. You know, we'll wait for her.
Huh?
Sonny, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, we lost him.
Well, I'll keep going there because he did this early in the show, so he just probably dropped out for us. But the point
is, keep rocking.
When you let the Supreme Court and they decided that they were going to be the ones who started to shape the law instead of following the Constitution, that's where we get all of these slippery slopes. And for all of you to say that that's a better thing, I point out the fact that the Second Amendment, you have the right to bear arms. Now, I want you to think about all the black boys who are now in jail for having a gun when they could have had one legally. But due to the regulations passed by the Supreme Court, then through Congress after the Supreme Court gave it power to do it, that's when all the regulations start popping up. That's when you get all of these extra gun laws. That's when you get in charge more time or a firearm, when it is your right in the Constitution to have one. So when you start thinking about the slippery slope that it is, realize that when you give up your rights on one issue, that's when they start taking them in every other issue. And then you get more regulations. And then you get more reasons to lock a black man up because there's more crimes that he can be convicted of. I'm sorry, that was my 2 cents. You go, Cap.
And then, you know, on top of that, you know, I go in with you on the Supreme Court, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, something like that. She had a quote that said, the quote was, I thought when Roe versus Wade was passed that we were going to get rid of the population that we didn't want too many of. That speaks to the eugenics right there.
Wow.
You know, when we talk about Mafia 21 about getting rid of people, that's a quote from a Supreme Court justice. Who's still sitting on the bench, you know? So, when like Dr. Johnson said, when we talk about things with the Frederick Douglass Foundation, we'll put you to the quotes. You know, we'll direct you to the people who said it. We'll put you to the references where you can go look it up for yourself. You know, because one thing about us is that we come with facts. We don't come with opinions. And that's evident in what we were talking about with abortion. We quote scriptures up here. We coming with facts, hard data. You know, we spending out numbers and giving you the resources to go look it up for yourself. You know, this is not an opinionated organization. You know, we coming with the truth because the truth will set you free. So when you talk about the Supreme Court justices and the power that they have, look at the people that's on the Supreme Court and look what they advocate. Look what they get their – look who supports them and where they get their money from. You'll see that the abortion lobby, Planned Parenthood, they are powerful, man. They throwing around a lot of paper, and they, you know. So it's time for us, you know, as a community to wake up, to get more involved. And if y'all want to get more involved, www.tfdf.org. You know, join the organization, fdfnc.org.
That's right.
You know, spread the word about the organization and get us into your neighborhood.
Can you back?
I'm back. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We took over your show, man.
Hey, I'm with
that.
Yeah,
man, you dropped off. We were getting it in.
We call it the takeover then. I'm good with that. I got no problem with that. It's in good hands.
But you know what? Y'all talked about something. Y'all said something about hip-hop before. I was riding down the road the other day, man, and the song popped in my head. That Hey Young World, the Slick Rick joint.
Yeah.
You know, that was real talk that he was doing, man. We need to start putting stuff like that back out instead of running around listening to Waka Flocka and all of them and what they talking about, because they ain't do nothing but bringing harm to the community. You know, they're not building up. They're tearing down more than anything. You know, when you look at the 73% single parent home, now on top of all the other statistics that Dr. Johnson laid out, you know, we need to get back to a place within the black community where we build it back up. Like that word he said before, legacy.
Legacy.
Frederick Douglass, he's still for a legacy. He's a legacy, the family, the black family. You know, when we have our kids, we can't abort our kids. We need to build a legacy.
That's right.
You know, God said that he said a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. We need to be building legacies, and you know, we need to be you know, get back the communities back in order to where we was over 80% two parent homes, where our schools was better than the white schools. We need to get back to that, man, and really start building up legacies and in our children and in our grandchildren, instead of just listening to these guys, man, that ain't talking about nothing.
It seems like it's yeah. Go ahead.
How long can you go, man?
I'm sorry.
How long can your show go?
I'm good right now for another 30 minutes.
Okay. I had something I wanted to say and I didn't get to say it.
No,
look,
go ahead. By all means, you know, speak your mind. What we got?
I gave it to Kevin and my chairman, Dr. Johnson. Give you the facts. Now I want to go for the heart part, and that's my dig at you for your picture I saw with Van Jones on your site. I want to go after the heart part real quick.
Okay, go for it.
I didn't take my shot for you for that one. All right, Tab, you might can help me out with this one. I like to always reference something when we're talking about an issue. So let's go to the issue of let's reference Willie Lynch for the issue of what sets us up to be in the position where abortion is even an option.
Mm-hmm.
So first we're going to start off with control language, because that was one of his little principles in there. So control language, this is for the women, all right? They tell you it's a woman's right to choose, but what they don't tell you is what it was before it was a woman's right to choose. Now, everyone has told you it was about wiping black people off. They didn't want us. We was ignorant. We were imbecile. Now, what they don't tell you is why you never hear, when they talk about the Holocaust, you never hear the word eugenics.
Not at all.
You never hear the word eugenics when they're talking about the Holocaust. But The only way that Hitler got away with the Holocaust is he used science. He used eugenics to convince his people that the Jewish people were inferior and needed to be wiped out. He used it as justification. Now, we think eugenics has gone away. It hasn't. It's now called genetics. It's the same thing, tracing your bloodline. When they say stem cell research, oh, yeah, let's go for it. Why? Because then they can breed perfect, blonde-haired, blue-eyed babies. So even if they couldn't wipe your population out by design, they can now do it by science. And then you're going to turn your health care system over to these people. So this is controlled language. If you're not keeping up with how they change it, women, we're still thinking about it's our right to choose. Pretty soon, it's not even going to be your right to choose.
Mm.
Go ask people in China whether they have a choice.
Not at all.
Their choice is for one child. That's it.
Understand, my ladies, please understand, control language. They switch it up on you in a heartbeat. And for my fellas that think that you are out there and you the man, you out there doing it all, you getting them all, you smashing them all, let me tell you what you're doing. All you doing is living out what they wrote in Willie Lynch. Because what they said is you can take the man, you can break the man. And once he is broken and all he has is his body because you have taken his mind, once he is broken, then you send him out to pasture. And you only call him back when you need his seed.
Mm.
And that is what you're being reduced to. You are being reduced to a broken man that can only find redemption when you, as my chairman said, insert the penis. Because that's where your manhood lies. Because it doesn't lie in your mind. It doesn't lie in your principles. It doesn't lie in your ability to be the man that God put you here to be. It lies on the fact that you have given your mind away to somebody else. And all you have left is your body. So while you think you the man, realize you only live in the life they set out for you dummies to live in the first place. Because nothing makes a man stronger than having a good, strong woman beside him.
You're good. Because we're educating here. For you folks who don't know what Willie Lynch is, you know, because I'm sure there's a number of people who are like, you know, what's Willie Lynch? Think about.
Don't tell them. Tell them. Go read it. Google
it. I gotta drop this jewel though. You gotta think about the terms of the words that are being used when folks said they would lynch a slave. Understand what's going on now. Understand, listen to this closely. When the words were used, when the language was controlled or is controlled, and you hear the term lynching a slave, lynching, which means hanging, this is where this term came from this man's name. Understand that. So Google Willie Lynch so you can get up to speed, and then you can clearly understand what Sonny was talking about here. Wow. Sonny, you went in.
But it didn't even mean hanging. He thought... Willie Lynch thought that the master was stupid for hanging his slave because he said, all you're doing is wasting money.
Absolutely.
You're killing your property. That's a dumb thing to do. So let me teach you how to control them so you can sleep safely at night and you don't have to worry about your slaves rising up against you. And that's why Harriet Tubman, when she made her trips back south, her biggest problem wasn't escaping the dogs or the slave chases, or any of that. Her biggest problem was trying to convince the slaves on the plantation that they were slaves and that freedom was on the other side because they had been so warped and so controlled that they were like, it's good here. We're happy here. We're not following you. Her biggest problem was nobody was willing to follow her.
If you look at from... Okay, folks, I had an agenda here for this show, and there's a reason that I really put these things together. I don't want you guys to hang up because I got a question for you. There's a reason I put these things together. The reason I asked about spanking, you know, let me be real clear about it. It's because we don't take on any social responsibility. And I'm not saying only as black people. I'm saying as people in general at all, point blank and period. We don't take on any responsibility for our own, nor do we take any responsibility for our own selves. And once upon a time as a community, we took on responsibility for everything and everybody. We don't do that anymore, folks. We don't do that anymore. What happened to that? Now, what's happened from us not taking on any social responsibility or any community responsibility or having any action at all involved with the community is an increase of abortion. Now, follow me. An increase of abortion that matches the time period when they were sterilizing us. Right now, if you look at the difference, if you look at the numbers, the percentages are within 10% of each other. There's no one forcing us to have abortions today, yet we still choose to do so. Yet we match the same time period when we were being sterilized without even being told. That's astonishing to me. That's astonishing to me that we will kill ourselves off versus when folks killed us without us even knowing. It's astonishing to me that we would continue to do that. It's astonishing to me that we would sit back and not have any responsibility for our own actions. This is where I'm going with this, folks. This is where I'm going with this. It start off in your household. That's why I brought up spankings first in the first segment. It start off in your household. If you don't address the things that your kids do, if you don't teach them and raise them to be right and come about as grown men and grown women one day, if you don't train them to do right, they're going to do wrong. It's a given. It's a given. That's why we get tickets for traffic lights. If not, you'd run every light in the city when you got impatient. This is common sense. This is something that we're losing as time goes on. We have to have more common sense, folks. We have to start paying attention to the small things, the things like the yes sirs and the yes ma'ams. Now, I hear a lot of people say that I don't make my kids say yes sir and yes ma'am. Well, at least make them say yes and no, not yeah and no. It makes no sense to me. The small things really matter, and they go a long way. Let me ask you guys this, right, because I'm about to really go in on my rant, and I can feel me losing control. So I just want to ask you guys this, man. With everything that's going on today, right, you know, from the social unrest that's going on and the economic failure that's going on, where do we go from here? How do we correct this wrong? And how does one establish some sort of accomplishment for self? Like, what can somebody do today where there are no jobs, hardly? There's hardly any jobs, right? What can somebody do to establish some sense of self-worth right now who doesn't have a job or feel like, you know, they're doomed?
You want to go, Sonny, or you want me to go ahead?
You go, because you know I talk a lot.
All right, I'll keep it short so you can get yours in. But one thing I think that people need to do is to look at the opportunities that's really out there. If there's no jobs, go to school. They're given a lot of breaks, you know, where people can get certain things to go back to school. You know, go back to school, get you a bachelor's degree. If you got a bachelor's degree, go get a master's degree. Go get something. And then also look at, we got to get out of the habit of looking at waiting for somebody to give us a job. Go start your own. Go create your own. You know, look at all the businesses and corporations that were started in a recession where there was no job. They went ahead, networked with some other people, got some money together, and went ahead and started their own business where they created their own money. You know, and there's so many opportunities out there, whether it's a for-profit or a non-profit. You know, so I just think that, you know, people just need to get out the box, get out their comfort zone, and start looking at different ways to really, you know, improve the conditions of their life and of their family. And stop looking at the right now. Let's look at 5-10 years from now and then go make things happen.
Hey, Kevin, for a person who has no means of understanding from an educational aspect, from somebody from the street, man. Take a guy from the hood who's doing nothing, right? Who's absolutely doing nothing, and all of a sudden he's tired of doing nothing. And one thing you got to know, here's something you got to respect. Most people from the hood that's already from the bottom, they're not going to kill themselves. They're not going to kill themselves. So that they, you know, these are the people that you can easily bring up. Give some advice to that person who's at wit's end, who's in the hood, who don't have any, you know, any education. How can that man find something that make himself feel valuable, you know?
Well, first thing they can do is go on, go to the library or get with one of their friends and go on tfdf.org or fdfnc.org, send us an email or something, you know, get with us, you know, because we're looking to do some things in the community. So that would be one of my first suggestions is the link up with the Frederick Douglass Foundation. Another suggestion I would have is to network. I believe that everybody has a passion or something that they want to do or something mm-hmm. that they feel that they can do to get involved in the community or to build up something. You know, one thing I like about what God said with the prophet Isaiah, God said, you know, he God put out the need, and Isaiah said, send me, I'll go. There's a lot of needs out there, so who's gonna go? Who's gonna go fill these needs? And I look at, when I look in the hood, I look in the street, I see a lot of people with entrepreneurial skills. I look at a lot of people with dreams and ambitions. Connect with some people that can help you do it. The Frederick Douglass Foundation, we can help connect that person that got the what do I want to call it, the street pharmacist.
Uh-huh.
And show them how to take that illegal hustle and turn it into a legal hustle. Because what they're doing is private enterprise. Mm. We could take them and show them how to get it legal and to start up their own businesses. And another thing that the blacks got to do, one thing that we got to do in our communities, man, is my wife and I was talking about this the other day, or yesterday, matter of fact, is that we need to start opening up businesses in the community. And then when we open up the businesses in the community, we need to be consumers of those businesses in the community. Because if what's the point of going across town, spending money there, where we can establish some things in the community other than barbershops and beauty salons and
right.
bodegas? You know, let's get some grocery stores in there. You know, let's get a movie theater in there or something like that. And let's employ people from in that community to work it. You know, that's one thing we got to do. You know, with Black Wall Street and so many different places in the black community where there were strips full of black-owned businesses, and then we tore that up. We was breaking in our own establishments. We was burning them down because we was mad at other people. We got to stop doing that, man, and we just need to take pride in our community, you know, and really get involved to build things up. Now, with the kids, you know, I think that parents need to discipline their kids. You know, if I could just jump into that real quick.
Sure.
Because the Bible talks about spare the rod, spoil the child. And then it also says that wickedness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And us as parents, we need to get the drive. We need to drive this stuff right up out these kids and teach these kids some manners, teach them some morals, teach them some ethics and values, you know, so that when they get older, they can pass that on legacy, man.
I agree,
we
Kevin.
We cannot build
a
legacy unless we train our children up in the right way.
I think it's all about the small things, man, and that's something that we're overstepping. We, you know, a lot of parents and sometimes even myself, man, we reach for the big things all of a sudden, like, you know, we skip over the small things like, you know, the small respectful yes sirs and yes ma'ams and the, you know, the how was your day and how are you and the opening the doors. And, you know, my daughter loves the fact that I open the door for her. She loves the fact that I greet her, you know, the proper way. And, you know, my boys, they, you know, I can tell when they've been around a certain group or when I haven't corrected them in a while. Maybe I'm on the road and I'm back and forth here and there. I can tell when my wife and I haven't correct them the proper way or we've slacked off a little bit because, and as parents, you're going to do that. I mean, that's life. But, you know, you got to catch yourself up. But I can tell when we don't correct them on the regular because the yes becomes the yeah. and then they'll correct themselves. And to me, that's a beautiful thing because that shows me that, okay, they're understanding what I'm teaching them, and that will go for a lifetime. That will last for a lifetime. You know what I mean? And these are the things that we have to do. We have to buckle down and take care of our kids and take care of our youth. And, Sonny, this goes back to what we were saying earlier. When you see that child that's out of place like it once was when we were growing up, and Tim said the same thing also, Dr. Johnson said the same thing also, when you see that child that's out of place, we have the social, we have the responsibility and the godly responsibility to say something to that child. Don't let that slide. We cannot let that go because that one small thing can grow into something much bigger. Sonny, what's your take on it?
Well, most definitely, but I want to give my opinion to what you do. If you lost, take what Kevin said. Come to Frederick Douglass Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Find me on Facebook. See, that's the point. We've been taught that we're alone. You're not alone. We are out here. We're begging you to come to us. We're not asking you. We are literally begging you. Come. We want to take. This is the thing. You believe that you have no skill. You believe that you have no talent. I try to tell you have some of the most talented artists in the hood. Okay, do you know if you can learn to take that art and turn it into graphic work? You can get paid $500-$600 to do logo. Every single thing, this, not just the singers, singers. You just don't have to go and have to make it big because people make money writing songs. You make money producing. You make money through A&R. There are so many ways to make money in the music industry. You don't have to base it on the fact that you have to be the star. Some of the richest people are the people that are behind the scenes.
Sure.
So everybody has a talent. And if you don't think you have a talent, if you got three kids and you manage them kids to the T where you know what every single one of them is supposed to be at every single time, that's what a manager does.
That's right.
Stop acting like we don't have the skills. At some point, you have to decide, are we the weak, ignorant people that they say we are, or do we have the skills, we just haven't put them to use yet? So stop thinking of yourself as less than and start saying, this is my time to turn it around. But having said that, do not expect that you will not have to pay for your sins of the past. Okay? Because God is just. Just because you turn to him don't mean you don't have to reap what you sow. He's still going to bring it to you, and you still going to have. That means the devil's going to show up at every corner, and he's going to show up early and often the minute you decide you want something better for your life. So at that moment, that has to be the moment where you start getting, when you start praying and you start saying, I know what's coming. Give me the strength to withstand it because it's not easy. And you have all them people, all them liberals, all them Democrats telling you we can make it easy. We can give you this. We can give you that. The truth of the matter is anything that's easy is not worth having. Mm. Everything that glitters is not gold. How many times have we learned these lessons the hard way? How many more times do we have to learn them before we wake up and realize that the stuff that's worth having is the stuff you willing to bleed for.
Wow.
It's not the stuff that's handed to you. So man up. Stop crying. Yes, it's hard. But so what? Are you as they like to say, we were kings in Africa. Are you a king? Kings don't wait around. They conquer.
I like that. I like that. That's beautiful right there.
At what point are you decide you the man that you claim to be?
Mm.
And then when you make that decision, expect stuff to go wrong. Wait for it to go wrong and know that you're strong enough to conquer it. And that's where the difference comes from.
And I think, too, you know, even you know, the words don't mean the same. You know, you talk about the word man or be a man. A lot of people today don't even know what being a man is. They don't know what it is to take care of their family because they didn't see that growing up. So we have to get back to really, you know, changing the perception of the community. Being a man is not how many people you have sex with. That's not being a man. That's a whoremonger. A man is somebody that if they have a child, they do whatever they have to do to keep food on the table, roof over the head. They do what they got to do to take their family, provide for their, protect their wife, you know, protect their children, do what they have to do. That's a man, you know. So we have to get back to really identifying what it is.
True indeed.
I believe they know exactly what a man is. They don't want to live up to it. I'm not gonna be a person that doesn't give black men the credit they deserve. They know what a good man is. They don't want to live up to it. I'm going to be the one that puts the responsibility of what you claim you are on your shoulder. You know what's right and wrong. You can say your father wasn't there. Well, then you know that it's not a good thing to not be there as a father. I'm going to give you credit that you got common sense. I'm going to expect more from you. You know what a man is. Don't claim that you don't, but say that you don't want to live up to being a man.
Wow, that right there. I'm sorry, right? I'm sorry I had to cut you, Sonny. I got 3 minutes. I got to go to one commercial, and then I got to come back, and I'm going to close the show. That's big what you said, man. I got to give you guys shouts out for rocking with me and being on the show. You guys don't know how much I love y'all, man, and I appreciate y'all coming through and really holding me down and being a part of the show. This is big to me because there are a lot of people listening, and there's a lot of people lost, you know what I mean? There's a lot of people who need to hear passion like this. There's a lot of people who need to know that you're in the same boat as them. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people need to know that, hey, don't give up. You know, as easy as it may sound, some people really don't think that way. So any shouts out before you guys go, before I let you go?
Shout out to you and my brother down in NC. Hey, bro.
Shout out to your brother.
Yeah. Shout out to Frederick Douglass Foundation, man, national. Organization, you know, all the other state presidents, Dr. Tim Johnson, you know, shout out to the boss, to the brainchild of the organization.
Right.
And
the boss lady.
And the first lady.
Well, oh yeah, can't forget about her.
Who held me down on my Facebook page. True indeed.
But yo, in North Carolina, man, y'all that's on the air, go to the website. Shoot us an email. My email address is kdaniels@tfdf.org, or check it out on the Facebook page, Kevin Daniels. You know, I need to know what's going on out there, you know, because my part of my position as a state president is to help bring resources to the community and help solve some of these problems, deal with these issues that's out there. So shoot me something on Facebook or shoot me an email. And let's make it happen together.
Hey, thanks you guys for coming on. I'm going to go to a commercial break real quick for like 1 minute, then I'm going to come back and we're going to close the show.
You're listening to WMMG, home of the KIRP radio show, baby. We are now 100,000 listeners strong, and it's all because of you. If you want more information about KIRP Radio Show, hit us up online. You can visit the website at www.kirpradioshow.com. Again, that's www.kirpradioshow.com. If you're logging online and you're on some social sites, make sure you hit us up and like our page on Facebook. That's facebook.com/KIRP Radio Show. Add yourself to the page. You can leave a comment. You can talk about the topics, and we'll try our best to get them on and read them off on the show. And if you're also on Twitter, send us a tweet @KIRP Radio Show, or you can hit up the host, and that's me, that's Pudgy, @NC Pudgy. Like I said, we are now over 100,000 listeners strong, and it's all because of you, baby. We started out November 28th, 2010, and now we're taking it through 2011 and beyond. We are the KIRP Radio Show, and if you don't know what that stands for, that's keeping it real with Pudgy, baby.
Check this out. The show's about to close. I appreciate everybody for coming through, man. Y'all know the shots out. If you missed something on the show, hit us up. Go back and listen to it on the website, krbradioshow.com. Real quick, right before I go, I got to give a special shout-out to Trinitra King and her brother over there at soundchew.com, one of the most prolific musical sites there are. I'm going to close the show with the Emerald Stone track. This is a nice hip-hop artist who are one of the people who are paving their own way and doing their own thing. Check it out. Emerald Stone, look her up on Facebook, mstone.com. Check it out. Don't forget, we're going to be at the CIAA, Charlotte, North Carolina, baby. See y'all soon. Bring out your gifts, bring out your canned foods, everything. Thanks for listening to the KIRP Radio Show. We'll see you guys Saturday at the CIAA Charlotte, North Carolina. Hit us up. For more info on the KIRP Radio Show, hit us up at www.kirpradioshow.com. One love.